Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Talk radio and great local programs, such as this one, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Also, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, with you on all three frequencies till 7 o'clock tonight. Great show in store for you today. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen will stop by in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk about a do-or-die trip to the Big Ten baseball tournament for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes as they enter play in Omaha this week as the number 8 seed. Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago joins us live from Wrigley Field tonight as it's the showdown. Many fans, I can't say that we've been waiting for this, but Yu Darvish goes head-to-head with Jake Arrieta, and there's a lot of buzz around this matchup tonight. Number of other topics that we'll get to touch on with Chris when he joins us a little bit after 6. All that, and we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. That's going to be yours just for being with us here in the first hour of the show tonight. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line available for you, 319-366-1600. And I do anticipate we will have a spirited discussion today. Was not anticipating an Iowa volleyball discussion today. More on that momentarily, but I think that's where we will get things kicked off at. Mondays on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Carpets, hardwood flooring, wood flooring, they've got it all, and they can make sure that you get the right product at the right price for your next project, whether it's big or small. Check them out online, randysflooring.com. This is just the way that you kind of thought things were going to go today, right? At 4:04 on May 20th, talking about Iowa volleyball.
I knew that was coming. I enjoy talking about Iowa volleyball. It's a sport that's always in the headlines on May 20th at 4:05 p.m.
Well, when a sport that doesn't get a whole lot of attention is in the headlines,
yeah,
it's usually not for a good reason. Now, I've been back and forth on this, thinking whether or not this is a good idea or not, but Iowa had to address this. How they chose to address this is for debate, but today they announced that Bond Szymanski is on paid administrative leave for 30 days for a rather significant NCAA violation. Is it singular or plural?
I believe singular is the verbiage that was used.
Jeff Linder in the Cedar Rapids Gazette has violations plural.
Okay.
So we'll go
Depends.
With that.
Okay.
30-day paid administrative leave never ends well, does it? 30-day paid administrative leave is language that's in your contract when they usually will move on from you at some point.
Unless you're LSU and you have a good basketball coach.
Crossing T's and dotting yes, unless you're Will Wade, and then you're right back on the job. This is, if you're talking Tier 1, Tier 2 violations, which apparently Gary Barta announced these were, you're walking a really tight rope with the NCAA. And whether or not you report it yourself or whether the NCAA finds it somewhere else on its own, it usually doesn't end well. Unless you're North Carolina basketball or a large, high-profile program. Right. Exactly. I don't know. There's not a whole lot more here to do with this, and it seems like a big story, but there's not really much on the vine here, and I'm thinking this isn't football. This isn't men's basketball. Why wouldn't you just put this out there and say, we're not going to have further comment on this until the investigation is complete? And that's one of the things that Gary Barta said today, is that as of May 6th, there has been a law firm conducting an external investigation here of which the university says it will fully cooperate with, along with the NCAA. I'm thinking that sometimes Iowa has a problem in not addressing things enough when matters arise.
Yeah.
And then with something like this, you're going to have a news conference with Gary Barta. That seems like it's a really big deal. And then you have the news conference and Gary Barta says, I can't really say anything. This to me is one of those instances where you should have given it the other treatment, where you just put something out about it. Neither one of these is going to end speculation. It's going to be talk, and I don't think people are going to go home tonight and sit down around the old dinner table at 6:05 and say, honey, did you hear about Iowa volleyball? But at the same time, you start using the words significant violations and the letters NCAA in the same sentence. I don't care what program it is. You start to get a little nervous.
What is the point of having a press conference and not being able to say anything? I just don't understand that. I agree with you. This is a situation where many times we're talking about lack of transparency. This is, I do believe Gary Barta is being as transparent as he possibly can be at this time. So a little statement about an investigation ongoing, no further comment until the investigation is over, would have absolutely done instead of a press conference Seinfeld style about nothing.
You're too transparent when you don't need to be, and you're not transparent enough when you do need to
be. Correct.
It's a little bit of an issue. It leads to some problems. My guess is here, my incessant and unwanted speculation is that Iowa is going to be looking for a new volleyball coach, and whoever Iowa will be hiring for the job is most likely going to face a Sisyphean task of trying to push the boulder up the hill,
right,
with most likely dealing with some sort of repercussions from the NCAA. If you don't get off the hook by self-reporting, just because you go to the NCAA and say, hey, we found something wrong here. This is apparently, according to the news conference today and the subsequent reporting on it, a player involved with the program went to the administration at Iowa with an allegation. As to what that allegation is, who knows? Your guess is as good as our knowledge. But it's not good. First tier, second tier, you're talking about
significant
violations. And I think most people have seen the movie Blue Chips or have read enough about previous NCAA investigations where they can sort of connect the dots here.
Blue Chips. What was the one with Ray Allen as Jesus Shuttlesworth? He got game.
He got game.
It's out there. So right now, that violation, we don't know what it is. We just know it's significant, and there's an investigation ongoing, and there was a press conference with some information, but we don't know any more. We don't know any more about this violation after the press conference than we did before.
See, 23-25 raises the other issue here with this on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, and I don't necessarily want to turn this into another one of these jousting matches here, but 23-25 says, would a female who committed violations have gotten a stricter punishment right away? Those of you with longer memories than myself may recall that when Gary Barta and his athletic department were being sued by Tracy Griesbaum, the former field hockey coach, and Jane Meyer, former Iowa athletics administrator who also happened to be Griesbaum's partner, that Bon Szymanski was one of the coaches who was accused of doing behavior very similar to Tracy Griesbaum as far as being hard on players. I don't know whether verbally abusive is the right way to put it, but there were allegations about Bon Szymanski that were very close to Tracy Griesbaum. And Griesbaum, of course, loses her job and Szymanski doesn't lose his. And that was just another bullet in the chamber for people to fire at BARDA and the university over discrimination. And of course, what makes this even a stickier ground to try to traverse is the fact that you've got a women's sport and it's coached by a man, and tying it back into the Griesbaum and Meyer situation, this is just going to give a lot of opportunity to a lot of people to dig up the corpse of that entire. Now, granted,
why does everything $6.5
million, the settlement over that, and Iowa came out of that looking terribly, but this is just going to give another chance, I think, for a lot of people to relitigate that, either publicly or on message boards, and this is not good. Iowa volleyball is, I mean, I don't want to say it's an afterthought. It was an afterthought when Bon Shemansky got hired. He's an Iowa City native. He's a University of Iowa graduate. There was a lot of buzz surrounding him when he took over the program, replacing Cindy Frederick, a.k.a. Ali Farouk Manesh's mother. And the results have been there at times. He's got Iowa to be about a, I think his career mark is close to 500 at Iowa. They're certainly more competitive. The program has been more competitive than before his arrival, but they haven't really taken that next step. And at the same time, this is a program that's going to be one of the anchor tenants in the 7,500-seat right. arena that they're building next door to you in Coralville. You get a lot of construction noise?
Not so much this year. Plenty of it last year.
Okay.
I had to buy earplugs.
They got any excavators there?
I don't think so.
My son is on a hardcore. He's going to turn 3 in July. He is really hardcore into construction equipment right now, and he knows. He knows every piece of equipment down to excavate. I mean,
that's how I was as a kid as well.
I was 9 or 10 before I could get through a 4-syllable word. And my son, excavator, skid loader. He likes skid loaders and excavators. And so that makes, we went on this trip this weekend, and he was a mile a minute every time he would see something out the window. And there's a lot of construction going on this time of year, as we remind you about Lunchbox Heroes here on KGYM, which this is not our week to be out and about. It'll be Scott and Mark's opportunity. Undoubtedly, many of the construction workers will be chatting with Mark and Scott, but mainly Mark, about Disturbed or Disturbed Poet, which is an inspired way to give away the Disturbed tickets.
Anytime
that the gym class will be offering all week.
We can bring out DJ Duker. It's a good week.
As we mentioned, we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina, a Mexican bar and grill. We'll be hooking you up with before 5 o'clock tonight, the first hour here of the program. You can stick with us. Lots going on in the sports world outside of Iowa volleyball. And thank you to 3530, who said he does sit down at the dinner table. Can't tell you how many times 3530 has sat down at the dinner table and said, honey, how about that Iowa volleyball program? So at least somebody out there is buzzing about Iowa volleyball before major NCAA violations came along.
Major NCAA, that is just something that you never want to hear surrounding
any sport.
But
now, I know 98.5% of the listening audience is going to go, is it football? Is it basketball?
No.
Don't care.
Okay.
Exactly. Don't care. However, there sometimes can be trickle-down effects to the athletic department. The problem here for Iowa is that their entire branding of their athletic department is centered on the idea that they do things a little bit differently than everybody else.
The right way.
It's one-third of it, yes.
Do it right.
Which is, one of my Twitter followers pointed out, hey, if you go 1-for-3, that's good enough to get you in the Hall of Fame.
This is true.
They're not winning. They are graduating, and now there's a question of impropriety, not doing it right. And actually, Gary Barta did address that at the news conference today and said that it's a painful day because the motto, win, graduate, and do it right, they did not have an employee who lived up to the... How many blows can Win Graduate Do It Right take? At what level do you have to go back to the drawing board and say, you know what? Maybe we're not doing things any better than any other program around the country. The problem is when you try to take the moral high ground on something, and then a story like this comes along, it makes easy fodder for a lot of other folks out there.
Yeah, it does.
And not necessarily people in this business, but they addressed it today.
Kind of.
And now Bon Szymanski is twisting in the wind. I do also like the fact that most people, I think, can understand that this is not something that you want on your resume. But there was I always say don't read the comments, but sometimes for comedic effect, I will wade into the comments or the replies.
Well, there's a fine line between comedic effect and letting it get you angry. That's my problem.
And there was a comment on, you do have a very short fuse, by the way, especially when it comes to St. Louis sports, which we'll get to in the 5 o'clock hour because Alex's Blues are on the brink of getting to the Stanley Cup final to take on the Bruins. I think it was a female commenter on Twitter that said, he's getting it. This is a 30-day paid vacation. Well, no. This is corporate speak for your rear end is going to get canned. We are legally obligated by our contract, and I think he's under contract for 2-3 more years, but that language that's in the contract that states, hey, if there's any hint of impropriety here, 30-day paid administrative leave.
So it's basically the equivalent of saying, okay, we need to cross all our T's dot all the I's before we can fire you without for cause, I should say.
And that's the assumption.
There's a legal process to getting rid of somebody with cause and not having to pay the buyout. It just doesn't happen. You can't just say, oh, well, this happened.
Unless you're Kansas.
For cause.
Unless you're Kansas trying to get out from having to pay David Beatty's contract. And for those of you unfamiliar with that story, and probably most of you, since I can't imagine Kansas football holds the imagination of too many listeners in Eastern Iowa, Kansas fired David Beatty and then spent several weeks afterwards trying to figure out ways to get out from having to pay him, even though he was fired without cause. They just wanted to bring in a different football coach. When's the last time that 30 days paid administrative leave ended well for somebody in the sports world, other than, I guess, Will Wade? And I still think the jury is out there with the LSU men's basketball coach, but LSU has decided, you know what? We're going to ride with this until something bigger comes along. Who are we going to get to do a better job than Will Wade? So go ahead and keep coaching, and we'll worry about vacating those wins when the time is right. 319-366-1600. As imagined, as expected, the Iowa volleyball discussion here has really lit a fire under the commenters. We'll go ahead and can we hit the breaking news? We're going to go ahead and... The breaking news here is that this is going to be the final time that we do this. We're throwing some shovels of dirt onto the grave of Iowa has legalized sports betting, but we do appreciate 0188 for trying to breathe life into that for, I believe now, the third week in a row. 366-1600, lots of other goings-on to get to. NBA basketball tonight. We mentioned the Blues are also on the cusp of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals this week. Much attention being paid to the showdown between Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta at Wrigley Field tonight. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit because hindsight is always 20/20. Plus, before 5 o'clock, Iowa and Iowa State can now say they have something in common with Alabama and Auburn. Unfortunately, it's not national championships in football. 4:22. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update. We have to get Kyle's thoughts on this. Has been something that we've been doing here for quite a while now during the final season of Game of Thrones. But we'll have to get Kyle's thoughts about the ending to Kyle's going to give me. No, that's a bad way to put it. I was going to say Kyle's going to come in here and give me credit for having the ending of the show, and I don't even watch the show, but I had nailed the ending of Game of Thrones.
Nailed it.
To the point where he begrudgingly sent me a text last night. It was very apologetic because he felt that it was late at night, but it was after the show was over, and he said, I got to admit, you were one of the only people that was saying this, and I'll tell you why when we return after this.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Whatever you drive should feel like a sweet ride, right? That's why I take my baby to Milex in Cedar Rapids. They treat her with kid gloves and treat me like I know what I'm talking about. I always feel good walking in there, and I really appreciate their complimentary customer shuttle. They even donate 5% of my bill to my kid's school. And when I pick up my car at Milex, they leave candy on the dash. How sweet is that?
Milex Complete Auto Care, 2010 Sylvia Avenue Northeast. Open now during remodeling. CedarRapidsMilexAuto.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Like the Colonels on Facebook or subscribe to their email newsletter to receive a buy one ticket, get one free coupon for this Tuesday's game. One lucky fan in attendance will win a pair of tickets to a Minnesota Twins game, sponsored by Great Clips. Get tickets at Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG 1930 ES electric scissor lift, with more of what you need for every job. More duty cycles to keep you on the job longer. More versatility to work in a wide variety of environments with cleaner, quieter operation. And more features and productivity-enhancing tools. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
The Warriors keep on rolling and take a commanding 3-0 lead over Portland. Now the Trailblazers face a must-win game 4.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
425, we welcome you back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann, our producer, the third member of the Donner Party with us in the studio tonight. He's going to give you an update, a big board update coming up momentarily. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen and HawkCentral.com is set to join us at about 5:20 tonight. We'll recap what was a very bad, no good, horrible weekend for the Iowa baseball program, but they are still the number 8 seed in the Big Ten baseball tournament, which gets underway in Omaha this week. Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago is with us as well. Big board updates on the show brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location in Iowa City at 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
The big story this afternoon is one that developed just in time for today's show. Head Iowa volleyball coach Bon Szymanski has been placed on 30-day administrative leave for what Gary Barta referred to as a significant violation. It was apparently brought to light by a former student-athlete, but is not something requiring law enforcement to get involved, but also is not something to be considered a technicality. The school hired an outside investigation firm on May 3rd and called the NCAA today to report what he anticipates to be a Level 1 or 2 NCAA violation. To put that into perspective, the NCAA website says Level 2 violations could be along the lines of, quote, multiple recruiting, financial aid, or eligibility violations that don't amount to a lack of institutional control, whereas Level 1 would be to the extent of lack of control or even severe offenses like academic fraud, although Barta said he felt it would be inappropriate to share what exactly is being investigated. Since its series victory over UC Irvine, the Iowa baseball team's taken a bit of a tumble, losing 5 of its last 6 after being swept in Maryland to end the regular season. With any postseason hopes 100% reliant on a Big Ten tournament title, attention is solely on the Wednesday matchup with top-seeded Indiana. First pitch is set to be 5 o'clock. The Iowa and Iowa State official verified Twitter accounts were suspended over the weekend as part of what seems to be the front end of what could turn into a trend because of music used in years-old videos, music copyright infringement complaints result in Twitter shutting down the pages, and since the Hawkeyes and Cyclones, Auburn and Rutgers football, as well as the Houston Rockets, have also been shut down. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Blazers trying not to get swept by the Warriors on the South and Main gyms, and then at 8:30, we'll have the Twins and Angels on the North gym.
I was going to try to come up with a joke about Houston not being shut down like that, and then I couldn't remember who they played last in the finals. Who beat Houston?
Who beat Houston in these playoffs?
Yes.
Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors.
See, okay. There you go. I could have went with that, and my brain was not functioning, in part because I'm expecting Kyle to tell me what a genius I am for correctly ending, for nailing the ending of Game of Thrones last night, even though I've never watched an episode of the show. Kyle, what have I been telling you for the better part of the last 3 weeks here?
Every time I come in here.
Now, do we still have to, I guess we have to say spoiler alert here, or we have to walk a very fine line because people are still going. I think it's the finale. I think most people have watched it, but I still don't.
If you
I don't
want to
upset
it.
That one person, because that one person in 2019, very vocal and very easily offended.
Just so turn your radio just a little bit down for about 5 minutes, and you can turn it back up.
Without saying the name of the man or woman or being, dragon, whatever, who winds up on the Iron Throne. This is the point where you give me props for being right for the last 3 weeks, even though I've never watched the show before, ever.
Every time I've come in here talking about Game of Thrones, you make a comment about, I just hope so-and-so gets it. And I'm pretty
sure it's going to be so-and-so.
I'm pretty sure there was even a time where I told you, like, listen, I cannot really foresee a scenario where that would come to be the case, because this particular so-and-so appeared to have no interest in this sort of thing. Literally, like, to the point that he would be unable of assuming the Iron Throne, because he just literally had nothing to do with it.
He's not handicapped, it's handicapable.
Yeah.
Thank you. No spoiler alerts there, but for people who do know the show and haven't seen the finale, I think I may have just upset you a little bit.
And it was so random that as it was happening, you were literally the only person who, you know, anybody who knows anything about the show was not really saying this person was going to get it. And so when it came to fruition,
only idiots like me who don't watch.
I had to text you before the scene was even over because I was just in awe.
So here's how I arrived at the conclusion that I did, having not watched an episode of Game of Thrones in my life. I've noticed over the course of this final season, a lot of people who do watch Game of Thrones were making fun of this particular character. And saying, wouldn't it be something? It's going to be him. Coupled with the fact that you could actually, up until last night, wager on who was going to wind up on the Iron Throne. And guess who had the best odds? The lowest payout. The particular character who wound up.
Wow.
And Vegas, especially on stuff like this, they tend not to make terrible mistakes. You're not going to put that character, even though he seems like a quiet loner, real long shot, like, okay, yeah, 10,000 to 1 that this guy is going to wind up on the Iron Throne. No, it was plus 150, which was the lowest possible payout. I think Jon Snow was, well, I gave away, it wasn't Jon Snow, I just said his name, but I think Jon Snow was like plus 350. So Vegas always has good information on stuff like this. That and the fact that people who really like the show were hinting at the fact that they didn't think it was a possibility. And then me and my little tiny pea brain was like, yeah, it's going to be him or her or the dragon
is a dragon
lone
eligible?
Wolf, gray dog. What's ghost? Ghost.
Are the White Walkers eligible for this?
I believe they were at 1,000,000 to 1. Is the Iron Throne, does it exist? Was it melted?
Yeah, the whole thing is actually gone. So, and you want to know what's really savvy about Vegas? They worded that, and they did not say who would sit on the Iron Throne when it's all over. They said who's going to rule over Westeros. And would you guys agree that Vegas takes itself pretty seriously?
Yeah.
They don't like giving away money.
No.
They
like to make it.
I am very surprised, because you're right. This particular character had the lowest odds, and that is 100% because there were spoilers on the internet. People who took the time and wanted to do this to themselves could have had those insider secrets and could have made easy money.
You can't always believe everything that you read on the internet, but...
Only like 25% of it.
Especially with a TV show, things of that nature, there's information out there. If you want to track it down, The Bachelor, I guess this season is The Bachelorette, right? It's Brit. There's a website, Reality Steve. You can go to Reality Steve and read pretty much how the entire season's going to play out. That guy's really good at what he does. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. What are you going to do with your life now that your entire identity is tied into this TV show, right down to your how you describe yourself on your Twitter handle, House of Man? What are you going to do?
That's been like that for so long, I completely even forgot about that. I don't know. I really don't know.
May I recommend The Big Bang Theory?
No. Don't. I never care. I make the joke, I'm not smart enough for that show, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but that show always felt a certain way to me. Like it's all the same jokes that every other show makes, dressed up with bigger, longer words, and it like just gives the illusion of being smart. And so then everybody who likes The Big Bang Theory gets to feel like, you know, I'm smarter than you, and if you don't like it, it's just because you're not smart enough to get it. Like, that just was annoying to
like
me.
Like somebody coming to Iowa and complaining about how we drive on dirt roads and we don't have any almond milk.
Almond milk is your complaint?
See,
not my complaint.
Todd, I have never seen my Twitter timeline more angry than when I opened it. Was that on Saturday?
And
I justifiably so, but my goodness.
Saturday night,
woo!
There was a tweet that was making the rounds, some coastal elite coming in from some publication. I don't even know what it is, but she was very aggrieved at not being able to find any almond milk in the state of Iowa, and then giving the rest of the world the assumption that we drive around on dirt roads, I guess in jalopies, like the Beverly Hillbillies clan, the Clampets or something like that. And at the very end, you tack on the compliment where you say, but they're really also really informed people when it comes to the caucuses. And this woman has just been absolutely getting roasted for her commentary about not being able to find almond milk in Iowa and driving around under. The other line, which people have been unmercilessly awful to her for, was the amount of unbuilt land that we have around here, which was pointed out to her online. Those are called fields, and it's where
farms.
The rest of America gets its food, including the world. So as much as I'm sure people, real estate developers, would clamor to build skyscrapers in Brooklyn, Iowa, along Interstate 80, those fields do serve a purpose. 319-366-1600. You, as a non-native Iowan, have figured out pretty quickly, we may all have disagreements here. There may be Bears fans and Packers fans and Vikings fans or Cubs fans and Cardinals fans, but if you are an Iowan and the other person is an Iowan, then you can certainly agree that any shot at the state is a shot at us as a collective whole.
I can respect that. I feel the same way about where I come from.
You feel the same way about St. Louis, and you've got two teams that are heading in markedly different directions, because your hockey team is one win away from playing for a Stanley Cup final, and your baseball team is not very good right now.
Correct.
And we will get to one of those two teams coming up in just a little bit. Now, the baseball game that is on the minds of a lot of folks tonight is Chicago and Philadelphia, because as the universe sometimes has a way of working out, we get pitching matchups or head-to-head matchups that tend to be very media-friendly, and especially in Chicago, this matchup tonight between Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta is a sports talk radio or a beat writer's dream, because if you recall, a season ago, two off seasons ago, heading into the 2018 season, Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta were arguably the two best, most sought-after pitchers on the free agent market. And the Chicago Cubs had a decision to make. Did they want to sign Jake Arrieta, or did they want to go out and bring in Yu Darvish? And the decision was made to give Yu Darvish a $6 million contract, and Jake Arrieta remained unsigned going into spring training and ultimately got $75 million over 3 years with the Phillies. neither one of these guys has been very good with the teams who signed them. They're pitching tonight, and it's an opportunity for people to relish in how much they love. Jake Arrieta is a guy who was part of a World Series winning team in Chicago, which there's nobody else alive that can say that. And people really liked him. And he's gone. Yu Darvish, there's no other way around it. Yu Darvish was signed to replace him, to take his place on the team, and it hasn't gone very well. And so now you get Yu Darvish with all of the pressure in the world tonight, pitching against this guy that he himself has openly said he's a legend in Chicago. Jake Arrieta is a legend here because he won a World Series. I don't see any foreseeable circumstance in which this ends well for Yu Darvish and the Cubs tonight, but we're talking with Chris Emma of 670 The Score from Wrigley Field at about 6:02 this evening to get his opinions on this. I said the segment here was generally outlined, hindsight is always 20/20. Alex, what do people tend to forget about the entire situation with Jake Arrieta? The Cubs tried to sign him or wanted to talk to him about signing an extension, and he didn't want to do it. He wanted to go into free agency
and see what somebody would pay him.
Exactly.
See if they would give him a 7-8 year deal, and he bet on himself, and
he kind of
lost. It didn't work out. That's correct. And the thing about this situation is the Cubs were half right in the sense of Jake Arrieta moving forward at age 32, they got all the best years out of him. You weren't going to see the Cy Young version of Jake Arrieta the rest of his career. And there wasn't the point of paying him 7 years and $150 million. Now, the flip side of that is you were hoping that Yu Darvish wasn't going to catch the full-on yips. And it seems as though that has been the case. You've seen moments where his stuff is all there, and it's between the ears with him. So the Cubs, looking back at this, if Yu Darvish was just sort of serviceable to this point, giving them 150 innings and had the same numbers that Jake Arrieta has, right around a 4 ERA, striking out plenty more than he was walking, this really wouldn't be all that big of a story. But the problem is Yu Darvish pitched 40 innings last year. Other than this last start, he's been completely out of control as far as
negative
his command.
War. He had a negative war until his last start.
And it's tough when you realize how much money you're paying him. So it's this double-edged sword. And tonight, is it at Wrigley Field?
And here's the beauty of this. I saw one of the Chicago writers earlier today asking a question, who would you rather have over the next 5 years, Darvish or Arrieta? There's no third option that says neither. I think at this point, you have to look and say Arrieta is in the decline of his career and Darvish is not anywhere close to the ace that the Cubs thought that they were signing. But it's not as simple as saying either or to me. Now, as we've discussed a number of times over the combination of the last three off seasons, the economics of baseball has changed rather drastically. And unfortunately for the Chicago Cubs, they've sort of been rolled up in the process because they signed a long-term, very lucrative deal with Jason Hayward going into 2016. You don't see contracts like that anymore.
No.
You don't see contracts like 6 years, $126 million for Yu Darvish anymore. So the Cubs are giving out these contracts because, and especially I recall with Hayward and my line of reasoning here, and I wasn't the only one who said, hey, if the Cubs aren't going to be the ones to give him the money, somebody else is, and it could be the Cardinals, or it could be another division contender. So, okay, they signed him. These contracts are the norm. And then almost overnight, they're no longer the norm, to the point where you had Arrieta going into spring training last season, basically begging for a job and getting $25 million a year over 3 years, which is nowhere near what he wanted. Fast forward another year, Dallas Keuchel doesn't even have a job right now
Isn't
because he can't or doesn't want to take a Jake Arrieta type deal.
Isn't it weird how almost overnight the line of thinking within front office completely changed, where you think of even the Jose Quintana deal, where it's like, okay, you're going to have to pay a price for young controllable arms.
Yeah, oh, he's under contract for 3 seasons. We have to give up our top 2 prospects to acquire him, and that deal made sense at the time.
And Jason Hayward, where it's like, this guy is in the prime of his career. He's 26 years old. He's coming off a career season. We have to pay him. That's what the market is. That's what the market is right now. And then all of a sudden, snap of the finger, it changes. And that's where people get in the whole collusion and that discussion. But like it or not, the market has changed, because the line of thinking as to how these contracts are being handed out has changed completely overnight.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can also use that to pick up the phone and give us a call. As a matter of fact, if you do that right now, and our caller number 6, Kyle is going to reward you with a $30 gift certificate to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. La Cantina has 3 locations across the corridor, 1 in Marion and 2 in Cedar Rapids, including the one in downtown right across from the U.S. Cellular Center. LaCantina319.com is the website to check out before you go. I know it's graduation season, probably a little bit late to be thinking about booking your party at one of their party rooms, but La Cantina does cater, and nothing says graduation party like a full Mexican buffet, right? It would get me to show up. You probably wouldn't want me there. You don't know me. I don't know your kid, but I'll come to your graduation party and eat tacos or fajitas. 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is. Plus, when we return, Kyle has already alluded to this earlier today on the Big Board update, but Iowa and Iowa State now have something in common with some big-time college football programs. Back with more after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. He's gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. It was a fantastic weekend of sports, from War of Will winning the Preakness to the St. Louis Blues building a lead in the Western Conference Finals, even Brooks Koepka winning the PGA Championship in back-to-back years. I caught all of the action at Buffalo Wild Wings while enjoying a delicious burger. I'm speaking of the brand-new All-American Cheeseburger, of course. 2 fresh, never-frozen patties covered in gooey American cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And what better way to wash that burger down than with one of the dozens of ice-cold beer options offered at B-Dubs. Get the new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings today. And as always, please drink responsibly.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Here's Howie Long for Skechers Wide Fit Footwear.
I'm 6'5", and I can tell you there are certain challenges in life that only big guys understand. Regular clothes don't fit. Heck, regular cars don't fit. But when it comes to shoes, Skechers gets it. That's why I wear Skechers Wide Fit. They've got extra room throughout, giving you room to breathe. And they've got Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort that lasts all day long.
Find Skechers Wide Fit at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold. Skechers, comfort included.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who's the greatest of all time? For my money, it's Progressive's home and auto bundle. It literally saves you money. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Look, it's simple.
I've said it before point and I'll say it again. Add up all the heroes, take away the zeros, and what you got? One big trophy and me saying, no, I told you so.
I disagree.
Thanks, fellas. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There's really no debate. Progressive's home and auto bundle is a winning combination. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Stop number two on this seven-game West Coast road trip. Twins and the Angels on Monday night from the Big A. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:48, we welcome you back in as a Monday edition of the program rolling right along. Monday's on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out at randysflooring.com. Kyle will have for you an Alexander Lumber big board update coming up in the next 30 minutes. Congratulations are in order, though, to our winner. Is that Tom in Cedar Rapids?
Sure is.
Might have to
Cedar Rapids
call for the optometrist here at some point, or at least get a fresh set of contact lenses in. But Tom is going to be enjoying a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We'll have another one of those for you coming up on the program tomorrow. Speaking of big board updates, Kyle alluded to this over the weekend. Many people noticed the fact that Iowa and Iowa State's official football Twitter accounts got temporarily shut down, suspended for violating the terms of service. Basically, a copyright infringement, and I believe at least in the case of Iowa, this was from a video or videos that were shared three or four seasons ago that had a musical accompaniment to Iowa football highlights, and because Iowa did not own the rights to the music, they got shut down. Now, this has happened, as Kyle said, to the Houston Rockets of the NBA. I think Alabama has run into this before. Clemson and Rutgers recently also having the same issue. Got to be careful what you put out there.
You also have to realize
Was it Back in Black? Do we know what the offending song? Because if it was Back in Black, that would really.
You would think by now they probably have the rights to use that song. You'd think, right?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be an unbelievable story?
I'm too busy wading through the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line here with the people who are upset that we spoiled the ending of Game of Thrones. And I'm going to say sorry, not sorry, because can we not talk about who won the 2016 World Series? I mean, we didn't come out and blatantly spoil it.
We didn't
say
use
the character's name. I may have alluded to some pretty obvious characteristics of that character. By the way, Kyle, did you see the latest outrage over last night's episode of Game of Thrones was the fact that they were upset at one of the characters, a French manicure, after riding through a town and raining fire upon it. She had perfect nails afterwards. And there was a water bottle. There's something to be said about consuming a product when it's very clear that the people who are responsible for bringing you the product have zero blanks to give. Starbucks cup, water bottle.
Blog post about the New York Giants.
You can clearly see her fingernails are in perfect manicured shape. I don't know what people are going to do without this TV show in their life, but if you're watching from a couple seasons behind, too bad is my response to you. We're going to be talking in the next hour about TV finales that were awful, and I'm not going to be worried as to whether or not anybody has ever seen The Sopranos before. Although that is a finale that has grown on me over the course
of
the last.
So you didn't like it at first?
No one liked it at first. This was a huge... If Twitter had existed, or existed in its current form when The Sopranos went off the air, it would have completely taken the platform offline. Their servers would have crashed. People would have been complaining about The Sopranos so much. 4:53, lots more to get into in the program tonight. NBA on tap this evening. Who do we got?
The Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers.
And this is about done.
And the Warriors are looking for the sweep.
I don't know if this is any more interesting than the PGA Championship was this week with Brooks Koepka leading wire to wire. Although,
if you were watching, and judging by the ratings, you probably weren't.
He got a push from Dustin Johnson on Sunday. I think he came within one stroke, and then it was...
He had a pretty rough final round. He was 4 over on the day.
There's a ton of pressure involved in trying to do anything wire to wire. But to win a major, and Koepka sets history over the weekend, and it's sort of an afterthought.
Did you see the overnight ratings for...
I know
was
that...
Was it NBC?
The overnight ratings on both the PGA Championship and the Preakness were just a disaster. And I'm still thinking some of this has to do with how we consume sports and television nowadays. But I know they take that into account when they figure out the ratings, but it's also not fair to compare this PGA to last year's PGA because Tiger Woods was involved last year.
Right. And he was in the hunt. And right on the heels of Brooks Koepka, and it was the first time in a major that we saw him in his comeback pushing for a major victory at Belle Reve Country Club in St. Louis.
Koepka, he's one of the best golfers in the world, and he doesn't do anything for me. And I spent the weekend with my uncle, who is a huge golf fanatic. He's golfed all over the world. Riveted by golf. And it was Saturday afternoon, and I said, I'm really surprised because it was also a family event, and my uncle doesn't like spending time around my family very much. I said, I'm really surprised that you're not in the basement right now watching the PGA Championship. And he said, well, I don't like Koepka. I said, okay, you're going to let that keep you from watching? Yeah, he's just... And I'm not a big fan. And then he said, I'd probably watch if Tiger had been around as he was last year. And I thought that was interesting too, because my uncle is definitely not in the Tiger guy camp either. I couldn't tell you who his favorite golfer is, but I can tell you it's not Tiger Woods.
Adam Scott, maybe?
I thought for a second you were going to say Adam Sandler. I don't know why my mind was going there. I just pictured that. Probably because I'm thinking the Boston Bruins jersey from Happy Gilmore, and the Bruins are waiting to take on the St. Louis Blues collapse. Barring a collapse, the Blues would have to monument. I don't think this is wood, by the way. I hear you knocking as the listeners probably do. It is wood?
It's wood.
I don't know about that. Can we put that to the test? Let's see whether this would burn or not. If we bring in an open, somebody's going to get put on 30 days paid administrative leave if we bring an open flame into the studio at this point and try to set the formica / particle. Alex says it's wood. I'll take his word for it on that. But the Blues, we'll get to this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. The Blues just one win away from advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they would take on the Boston Bruins. And then I'm sure we'll have some fun at the expense of the tortured Boston fan base that hasn't had a parade in... They count their parade droughts in months, not years,
sometimes
in Boston.
Days.
Sometimes days. 3-6-6-1600, you think the Warriors do this tonight?
Yes.
Finish it off?
I think the Portland Trailblazers have the tag on and they're just ready to put them in a bag. That's a bad analogy, but it's the truth.
My uncle is also, they have a home in the mountains in Colorado, and so he's adopted the Denver Nuggets as his favorite NBA team. And he's a huge, huge Iowa booster and alum. And I had a really interesting conversation with him about Monte Morris over the weekend. He really likes Monte Morris's game, but I said, kind of feel a little dirty rooting for somebody that went to played for a rival, right? And this isn't just an Iowa State thing. I mean, we see this in real life all the time. And he was like, yeah, but if he helps my team win, I'm willing to forget where he went to school. And it's a very good, very good rule to live by. 4:57, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for hour number two of the program after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
4:59, welcome back in as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively. Also available online at KGYMRadio.com. Hour number two of the program today, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen set to stop by. We will preview Iowa baseball as it heads to the Big Ten Tournament as the number 8 seed. Plus, Alex's Blues are just one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals and that Game of Thrones finale last night. You didn't love it. You didn't hate it. Get your thoughts on that as well. 319-366-1600. Hour number two is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Betrayal, backstabbing, power. Not part of a Hollywood script, but from Magic Johnson. When discussing his sudden resignation as Lakers team president on April 9th, Johnson on First Take identified GM Rob Pelinka as the person he was alluding to when he mentioned he was tired of the backstabbing and whispering going on behind his back. Johnson also explained one reason for his resignation. He felt he had no longer had the power to make decisions.
I didn't like that Tim Harris was too involved in basketball. He's supposed to run the Laker business, but he was trying to come over to our side. Jeannie's got to stop that. It's too many people at the table.
Magic Johnson. At the Lakers press conference to introduce new coach Frank Vogel, Pelinka responded to Johnson's comments, said they're surprising to hear, disheartening, and are simply not true. Mets slugger Yoenis Cespedes broke his right ankle after stepping in a hole on his ranch. He suffered multiple fractures. Cespedes hasn't played this season following heel surgeries last year. Those surgeries were expected to keep him sidelined until at least half of this season.
Coming up Tuesday, we thought the Raptors were extinct, but here they are showing signs of life. But is it too little too late? The latest from the NBA playoffs, plus one of your final chances to come with us to Whistling Straits with the Wingo Cup Contest. Tuesday, Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Welcome to Spain and...
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
This Memorial Day, kick off summer with something very cool.
up to 40% off appliance special buys. Like a Whirlpool top freezer refrigerator, now for just $598. Its big 18-cubic-foot capacity has plenty of storage space. And that price puts everything within reach. Summer's here, and today is the day for doing. With Memorial Day savings, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details, valid through June 5th.
At $50,000, pinnacle 55, pinnacle 5.
At Mecum Collector Car Auctions, you've got to think fast and know your numbers, year, mileage, and 303 speed detailer. 303 cleans, shines, and protects instantly. We need every car's finish looking its best to command the highest bid. I use 303 speed detailer at home, too, to keep my car's finish looking new and lasting longer. Powerful UV blockers help prevent cracking and fading. And it's great for use between washes. 303 speed detailer, available at AutoZone.
Last call, sold.
Stop number two on this seven-game West Coast road trip. Twins and the Angels on Monday night from the Big A. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:03, welcome back, or welcome to hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hours one, two, and three presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. You can check out their showrooms in Cedar Rapids. And on the Strip in Coralville, Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, and there's a good reason for that. If you check them out, you'll quickly find out why. We appreciate their support as always. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen is set to join us coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. The Iowa Hawkeyes struggling on the road in their Big Ten regular season finale against the Maryland Terrapins. They, I don't want to say, go limping to Omaha as the number eight seed, but the last couple weeks for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes have not been all that great. Now, you can say that this is a culmination of battling a tremendous number of injuries throughout the year, and Iowa certainly dealt with and faced its fair share of adversity, but unlike previous seasons, they're lacking for momentum as they go into the postseason. They, if they want to get to the NCAA regional, they got to win the whole darn thing. We'll get Dargan's thoughts on that in just a little bit. Chris Emma of 670, the Score in Chicago, is set to join us in the 6 o'clock hour tonight as well. He'll be at Wrigley Field where the Cubs are playing host to Jake Arrieta and the Philadelphia Phillies. That is the pitching matchup tonight, by the way. Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish, 7:05 first pitch there. Did you... I was aware of this. I don't know how many other people have been following this saga, but the Sports Center at the top of the hour mentioning New York Mets outfielder Yoenis Cespedes, who has not played at all this year, has been on the injured list and is out, well, was going to be out until most likely July. The Mets held a news conference today announcing that Cespedes had broken ankles, both ankles, in an accident on his... He's got a horse ranch, I guess?
He has a ranch. And he broke... Like you said, there was reports that he broke both ankles. Then there were reports that he broke multiple... He had multiple fractures in one ankle. So...
Both very bad things.
Either way.
If you make your living as an elite athlete, and Cespedes has been very, very good for quite some time.
His ranch is in Port St. Lucie,
which is home of the Mets spring training facility. What's interesting here is this goes back to the age-old discussion of what gets put into athletes' contracts that prevent them. Remember, Jason Williams with the Bulls was not supposed to be riding, was it ATVs?
Was it a motor? I thought it was a motorcycle, but I could be wrong. But you've seen this before. Kellen Winslow was injured on a motorcycle.
I think this was back with the, it may have been with the Angels, but when the Cedar Rapids Colonels, there was some doubt at one point in time. They have a bowling night every year. And there was one year, I think it was maybe the last year with the Angels, where they said no. They didn't want their players doing that.
Okay, that's excessive.
It all goes back to injury risks, I guess. And if you've got a pitcher that you gave $1 million to, I don't know if you want to pulling and tugging on with a 14-pound ball on that right or left shoulder, depending on what they pitch with. But my guess is that there's language in Cespedes' contract about things he can and cannot do away from baseball. And as Mike Puma, which is a fantastic name, he is the beat writer for the New York Post, who's covered the Mets for a really long time, points out that the Mets, if they want to go after Cespedes' contract, after the money, and try to not pay him, basically, for this injury, that depending on how the agreement is structured, Cespedes' agent who signed the deal would have to forfeit part of his commission, a.k.a. give money back to the ball club. Cespedes' agent, when he signed his contract with the Mets, is Brody Van Wagenen, who is currently the Mets' general manager.
As this this is too good to be a sitcom.
This is the Metsiest of Mets incredible stories. And this comes out on the same day that Ken Rosenthal at The Athletic wrote a really, I don't want to say damning piece on Mickey Callaway, who's the Mets, for those of you who have not been paying attention to Major League Baseball, were swept over the weekend by the Miami Marlins, who are among the league's worst teams. And two of the losses were shutouts. It's just, they're playing bad baseball. Robinson Cano has actually been taken out of the lineup for not hustling. He's your veteran guy that you made an acquisition for and brought him in and now benched for lack of hustle.
Here's the problem. No matter who they bring in to manage that team and no matter what players they bring in to put on the field, the same themes preside. They can't win games and they can't stay healthy. Why is that? I'm just looking at the constants here. And the players and the managers cycle through and the same problems exist for the organization.
Be interesting to see what Brody Van Wagenen, the general manager, does there. And in an organization that has a long history of pinching pennies, do they try to recoup some of the money from that contract and therefore he gets to give back some? Jason Williams was racing a crotch rocket.
A Yamaha R6.
74.
And he ran it into a street
light. I just wanted an excuse to use that term, which I think that's kosher. I said it out loud, so I can't imagine there'd be anybody that would be offended by that, but it's 2019. We get offended by everything nowadays, including the fact that we dared to discuss Game of Thrones because somebody out there is watching from a couple seasons behind, which, if you're late to the party, if it's a surprise party and you show up 20 minutes late and they've already honored the guest of honor, I don't think it's fair to ask the guy to go outside the door
again?
That you can come back into the room and be there for the surprise. But the sense of entitlement among especially TV and movie consumers, like the Avengers Endgame movie, I saw people who were livid that it was being discussed on Twitter and the movie had been out for a week at that point in time. Well, just because your personal schedule doesn't allow you to get to the movie theater until the film has been out for 3 weeks doesn't mean other people don't get to discuss something that they like. Those people like Kyle, who the community, the Game of Thrones community, are abuzz today from this. I want to bring Kyle back into the studio here because I want to pander to the pop culture segment of the crowd, because why not? It's May 20th. We tried to talk about Iowa volleyball and NCAA infractions, and that was a non-starter. You didn't love the finale last night. You didn't hate the finale. That's the sense that I'm getting from the Game of Thrones community online. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It was an ending. Not a bad one, not a great one, an ending.
Yeah, there was, it was good. I think these last two episodes were good episodes. The problem that you're running into and the problem that you're talking about seeing online so much, which has, it's totally, totally been overblown so bad, where it is, there's a difference. Early this season, you could tell that things were going to go differently than a lot of the series had sort of indicated things would go. And what I mean with that is that you know, we've talked about how the first, you know, good chunk of this Game of Thrones show was based on an existing book series, books that were written and had been published. You can read them yourself. And the showrunners were making an adaptation of an existing story. And then, like we said,
they're changing the ending, basically.
Well, it's hard to say that you're changing it because we don't even know what the ending actually is because those books are unfinished.
So those books are written, sort of, but they haven't been released.
Well, there's a rumor that they're written, but no, they're not. Definitely not released. We just finished season 8 of Game of Thrones. They passed the books after season 5, and so what I'm getting to is that the show, the final 3 seasons was not. It was no longer an adaptation of existing content. It became very much sort of fan fiction from the minds of the guys making the show, sort of how they thought things might go, but they really. You know, it was not what they signed up to do. They were making a show rather than adapting a series.
The equivalent is right now on AMC, and they're in between seasons, is The Walking Dead, which is adapted from a graphic novel, a.k.a. comic book. And the show has not surpassed the graphic novel at this point. It's still working on catching up. This would be as if The Walking Dead caught up to the comic books and then was like, okay, well, we get to chart where the storyline goes from here. Now, it's a little bit different there because The Walking Dead from the show from the beginning decided it wasn't going to follow the comics to the letter, which has always been a source of consternation among the fan base. I'm being told on the text line that you have to wait a few days at least to discuss the... If millions of people...
Not this one.
...watch the finale. I remember... Look, I remember the finale of The Sopranos. And I remember sitting on the couch in my apartment in Iowa City, 1064 Newton Road, right behind Carver Hawkeye Arena. And I remember, what the hell did I just watch? I put so much into that show, watching it from the very beginning. And you got to be kidding me. That's how they end it. And on the Today Show, the very next day on the Today Show, they're doing a segment on the ending because... I mean, people were outraged about it. What are you supposed to do? If something happens in sports tonight, are we supposed to tiptoe around it tomorrow because somebody may have DVR'd the game and they don't want to know whether Golden State swept Portland or not? We're too damn sensitive about this stuff. It's a freaking TV show. Get over it, how I approach things. But then again, to each their own, if you want to get your feathers ruffled about. So if it's that important to you, stay up until 4 a.m. and watch it on the DVR is how I would approach it. In a day out, it's fair game.
8458 brings up a fantastic point, Todd. You ready for this one? The wait a few days analogy doesn't work with talk radio. Otherwise, you would be talking about the Super Bowl on the following Wednesday. Yeah, that wouldn't work very well now, would it?
I don't think it...
Yesterday's
actually
news,
the
a few
analogy
days out.
Works perfectly because if I'm talking about the Game of Thrones finale on Wednesday, it's not relevant anymore.
Correct.
The finale was last night. I don't want to talk about something that happened 7 days ago.
And especially by the nature of a finale, this finale was big enough that you can't. It is unreasonable to ask people to not talk about it. And also, it's not going on anymore. It just ended. There's no reason to talk about it, because we were able to talk about it on Game of Thrones on Friday last week, because there is another episode coming. That is not the case anymore.
I'm getting here is the community seems to be divided about how to treat this.
Yeah, well, here's...
I wanted to talk about crappy endings to series, and now here we are just complaining about whether or not we can even talk about Game of Thrones.
Here's what I need a clarification on, Kyle. 2922 says that the books are very different than the show. But I thought that the books weren't released.
There are
books out there.
Yeah,
there's a new series of books coming out that aren't written.
Blood and Fire.
There is a pre-existing...
Did I get that right?
...unfinished book series.
Okay, and some of them are out and some of them aren't?
Some are, and there's like two that aren't.
Oh, okay.
And so midway through the show, there was a lot... And early in the show, there was a lot of indications that they were like really tapping into a lot of book content. And as they got further away from book material, it became more difficult for them to do that. And so a lot of the Game of Thrones people you're hearing complain are kind of pointing out the inconsistencies from the way there was a lot of hard evidence that things were going to turn out a certain way, and it turned out it looks or feels like the showrunners at some point decided we're just not going to do that anymore.
Now, people who just turned the radio on right there may have thought Kyle was talking about Bon Szymanski and Iowa volleyball, and they thought, okay, yes, it's a sports talk show. There's a lot of hard evidence. They're thinking, okay, NCAA violations. Nope, we're talking about Game of Thrones because the rest of the world is talking about Game of Thrones right now. I enjoy the fact that people, and it didn't seem like it was millions of people, but there are people that were so into this show that they got upset that one of the main characters, Danny, that after this scene from last week's episode, and maybe we have to wait 2 months before we can talk about the second to last episode. I don't know what your rules are with TV, but something drastic happened in the See, do you see how ridiculous this is? That if you tried to apply the exact standard to sports and talking about it, we wouldn't be able to exist.
That quarterback from the Patriots, I'm not allowed to say his name.
That play at the end of the Super Bowl involving Marshawn Lynch.
It may or may not have involved the forward pass.
No, spoiler, because somebody may not have seen what Marshawn Lynch...
The play call was questionable, but not in the way that you think it would be questionable. Yeah.
Happened in last week's episode that most likely you would not survive with your fingernails completely polished and in spectacular shape. And yet there was a close-up of her last night where she clearly has a French manicure. And instead of acknowledging that this is a fantasy and a fictional TV show, people are mad about it online.
Things have gotten so
not real.
So out of control.
If we were allowed to play the audio, then I would drop in the guy talking about wrestling, where it's still real to me. I've never been more, and I have changed my opinion. I want to know if you, the Game of Thrones community out there right now, you Kyle's people, I want to hear from you on the text line, 319-366-1600. What did you think of the finale last night? Did you like it? Did you love it? Was it just a finale? 366-1600. There have been very few great TV finales over the course of history. There have been a lot of bad ones. Seinfeld comes to mind immediately.
Awful. Terrible.
The Sopranos.
I saw that episode the other night.
The Sopranos is one of those where I think when it first happened, most people hated it. And now that The Sopranos has been off the air for the better part of 15 years or something like that, I think people have come to realize that, okay, I can see what David Chase was going for there in how he ended things, and he's given his reasoning for it. And also because James Gandolfini is dead, you don't have to get worked up over whether or not there's ever going to be a sequel. They are doing a prequel movie with James Gandolfini's son about The Sopranos, but good, bad, indifferent. Your thoughts on Game of Thrones and the finale last night for those of you who did watch it. 366-1600.
Are we
best to avoid spoilers, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to be able to read Ed's thought out texts that sort of spoil things?
I love
on
Ed,
the Hurricane and Stalker text line.
Ed,
he's all
and
in.
Kyle. Ed and Kyle have had they've been writing these George R. R. Martin length responses back and forth to one another. I want to know what you and Ed are going to do now. Now you're going to have to find something else to talk with Ed about.
What does Ed? What else do you watch? We'll figure it out.
Boston sports. Ed's all in this. You know what? You can trade
Ed's not
places.
A difficult person to talk to. He's
you can
very
trade
easy
places
to talk
with Kyle, because if the Blues wind up playing the Bruins in the Cup final,
all right,
then there you go.
Ed's
yes,
yours.
A rematch 49 years in the making.
James on the text line says thumbs up, maybe, and then because if I read any more of this, somebody out there is going to get upset about it. So we have to keep this as bland and generic as possible. Do you like it? Did you not like it?
See, this could be a spinoff segment where we talk about a game in these terms from last night.
We treat a game the way that people want their movies and TV shows treated.
Right, like the Cubs,
when
Cardinals.
They themselves have not had an opportunity. The world does not stop and start at your convenience. And the sooner that everybody realizes that, I think the better we'll all be off. It's part of, the fact that there are people out there that feel entitled to having the whole entirety of the rest of the world cater to their personal needs to not have the show spoiled for them. I got news for you. The whole rest of the world's not the problem. Right?
Correct.
366-1600.
I think this
massive cultural phenomenon, but we can't talk about it because too many people talk about it. Do you see the irony there?
Exactly. There's such a magnitude to this. This is such a cultural phenomenon. The finale was last night. You need to be aware that you're probably going to be hearing spoilers. You need to stay off of Twitter. You need to probably stay off of Facebook. You need to be careful of what you're putting
now,
into your
ears. Now, was Drogon, is that the dragon or was that a human being?
Drogon was a dragon.
Okay.
He's a...
Ghost is a dog.
Ghost is a... Yeah.
And I... Did they both...
They... Ghost got a redemption. I'll say
okay.
That.
Okay. I can't even see. We can't even say if they both made it out and George R. R. Martin falls on hard times in a couple years, maybe you see a spinoff it's like an animated children's cartoon. It's a dragon and a dog, and they team up together to bring peace to Westeros.
If I may make one bold prediction.
The Seven Kingdoms? For somebody who didn't watch the show,
yeah,
too much about this.
Yeah, you really do.
I got to do an Alex. I think I got to go back and watch. From the beginning.
Now that you know everything.
But
what was your prediction going to be, Kyle?
Oh, they set up a really obvious spinoff. I don't know if they'll be able to do this, but I know they would be able to.
Could it be animated involving a dragon and a dog? If not, I'm
oh
out.
Oh my goodness.
I'm out.
That's a different idea, but that could be your kid demo. But Arya, I'll just say it. Arya appears poised for a spinoff.
6 Feet Under had the best series finale ever, according to 1839 on the text line. Was that also an HBO? That was HBO as well, I think. 6 Feet Under? 366-1600. You can MASH, pretty good. The Cheers finale. As a kid, I remember watching the last episode of Cheers and thinking that they knocked that one out of the ballpark, and then the after show where they were all just completely loaded was fantastic on top of things as well. 525. The bottom line is, more often than not, especially this day and age with Twitter and Facebook and various ways to express your opinions, more often than not, people are going to hate whatever it is that you do, especially when they've invested so much into the show. They don't want it to end. And when it ends and it's not exactly the way that they want it to wrap up, yeah, you're going to be mad. But at the end of the day, you also have to remember, it's not real life. 319-366-1600, 525, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen. Well, can we talk to Dargan about the Big Ten tournament without spoiling what happened with the Iowa baseball team in Maryland over the weekend?
We
can't really.
We've had some both Hawkeye and Terrapin fans in the area have reached out, asked us not to spoil the sweep from the week.
We just have to say that Iowa is going into Omaha with less than ideal momentum after this weekend series. We don't want to spoil anything out there for folks who may have held a tape recorder up to the radio and recorded Zach Mackey's call of the action. 526. Dargan Southard's going to be with us shortly. When we return, Kyle is going to get you a big board update, and then we'll chat Hawkeye baseball with Dargan after this.
The pomp and circumstance, the procession, the cap and gown. Traditions that have changed little since the 1940s. Back then, the great landmark was a high school graduation, or perhaps college. Now it's high school, college, and often graduate school. The students and the exams have changed, but the ceremony and the importance of a graduation day remain the same. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been helping families and friends recognize graduates in remarkable ways. Like a ring that will always remind her of her accomplishments and goals, or perhaps a watch to let him know he's made it. 13 & Stalker's watch department has many to choose from men and women, including Movado, Seiko, and Tissot. And there's always free gift wrap. So stop by and see what's in those famous windows at 13 & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Bring your furry four-legged friends to the Colonels this Tuesday for Bark in the Park. Participants must register their dog online at colonels.com and purchase tickets for you and your dog. All proceeds from the dog tickets benefit Critter Crusaders. Visit colonels.com and get your tickets now for the best party in town and party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Nobody beats our prices at Menards, so you can save big money on giving your home a fresh new look. For an exterior paint and primer with extreme adhesion technology, choose Dutch Boy Max Bond. Its no prep, no prime formula delivers superior adhesion to chalky, dirty, previously painted, or glossy surfaces with unconditional satisfaction. Right now, save $10 a gallon after rebate. Good through June 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
The Warriors keep on rolling and take a commanding 3-0 lead over Portland. Now the Trailblazers face a must-win game 4.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
529, we welcome you back in. Mondays on the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You heard the ad there. They've got a lot of pet-friendly flooring options, and you can check them out for yourself in Cedar Rapids and on the Strip in Coralville. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen set to join us shortly, but first we've got to get you a Big Board update. Big Board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander, their showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Perhaps you're looking to upgrade the look of your windows. Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander can help you do just that. Details available at our website, kgymradio.com. Here's Kyle.
The lead story this afternoon is one that developed just in time for today's show. Head Iowa volleyball coach Bon Szymanski has been placed on 30-day administrative leave for what Gary Pardo referred to as significant violation. It was apparently brought to light by a former student athlete, but is not something requiring law enforcement to get involved, but also is not something to be considered a technicality. The school hired an outside investigation firm on May 3rd and called the NCAA today to report what he anticipates to be a level 1 or 2 NCAA violation. To put that into perspective, the NCAA website says level 2 violations could be along the lines of, quote, multiple recruiting, financial aid, or eligibility violations that don't amount to do not amount to a lack of institutional control, whereas level 1 would be to the extent of lack of control or even severe offenses like academic fraud, although Barta said he felt it would be inappropriate to share what exactly is being investigated. Since its series victory over UC Irvine, the Iowa baseball team's taken a bit of a tumble, losing 5 of its last 6 after being swept in Maryland to end the regular season. With any postseason hopes 100% reliant on a Big Ten tournament title, attention solely on the Wednesday matchup with top-seeded Indiana. First pitch is set for 5 o'clock. The Iowa and Iowa State official verified Twitter accounts were suspended over the weekend as part of what seems to be the front end of what could turn into a trend. Because of music used in years-old videos, music copyright infringement complaints resulted in Twitter shutting down the pages, and since the Hawkeyes and Cyclones, Auburn and Rutgers football, as well as the Houston Rockets, have also been shut down. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Blazers trying not to get swept by the Warriors on the South and Main gyms, and then at 8:30, we'll have the Twins and Angels on the North gym.
And that'll be our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Do the Blazers get swept by the Warriors? Yes or no? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. I have lost count at five. I think it's some north of that now. People on the text line who are suggesting 6 Feet Under as a TV show that is worth watching, especially given how it finished up.
Just don't spoil it for me.
And okay, now I've got to figure out whether I can find it. That's been off the air for a really long time. I don't know whether it's streaming anywhere or whether I'd have to go old school and buy DVDs, track down DVDs. Did you know there's only one Blockbuster left in the entire world?
I did know that. Where is it?
Bend, Oregon.
That's right. Bend, Oregon. I knew
how close
it was somewhere
is that to
I'd
where
been.
You were?
That was about 2 hours. One of the teams in the league that I announced for, their rival, the Corvallis Knights rival, were the Bend Elks. I know that was very easy for me to say. But Bend is a beautiful town, by the way. It's the craft beer capital of the world.
That and do they have dirt roads and almond milk there?
They have almond milk. Okay. Not sure about the dirt roads.
I bet they have dirt roads there.
It's a big skiing town.
I've been to the... Does that qualify as the Pacific Northwest or
Absolutely.
Is it too inland?
Oh, it's the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
It's
Pacific. The Pacific Northwest is absolutely beautiful. It's not flat and dirt roads like the entire state of Iowa, according to the political reporter who also traveled dirt roads. And what was the other complaint? The almond milk. Yeah.
And the highways were, what was it, tenuous?
Unbuilt or? Land. It's called. They're called fields, and they're worth.
Can't wait to get back on the subway. Well,
they're
more power
to you. Lots of money with a subway when it's working properly, when it's not delayed in New York City, which it often is. 319-366-1600. I've said it a number of times.
Being able to drive without any traffic at all.
The best part about all of this is these people that come here and perpetuate the stereotypes, and they leave, and I stay here, and I enjoy my life. Without people coming in and buying up my unbuilt land and drinking all of my non-existent almond milk. Go home. We don't want you here. 319-366-1600. We want our next guest on the line with us, and we've got him, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press Citizen, covering the Iowa baseball program to the bitter end at this point, seemingly, Dargan. But this is not the way that Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes wanted to go into Omaha, coming off a rather disastrous weekend against Maryland.
Yeah, it's funny how quickly things can change when your margin for error is very slim. And I was unfortunately experienced that the hard way for the second straight year. Nothing really went right in College Park after not much went right against Michigan State. So, no need to check on RPIs or analyze resumes or anything like that. The goal, if Iowa wants to continue its season, is pretty clear this weekend. It needs a title in Omaha. And, that's kind of the product of what's happened the last 2 weekends where, Iowa kind of did the hard work, did the difficult stuff, but couldn't close the door when the schedule eased up. So, this is the position that they're in. Had media availability earlier today, and, obviously everybody kind of said what you would expect, that the confidence is still there. The team still believes that it can do some damage, but certainly going to have to play much better in Omaha than they had the last 2 weekends.
We had Rick on, I think, after they had won their 6th consecutive series, and you could sort of hear it in his voice that they was very happy with where that team was, especially due to after all the injuries and adversity that they faced. Does it sort of feel like maybe they've run out of gas a little bit at the end of the season and the injuries have caught up to them?
Yeah, I think you could say that a little bit, just because, especially the last, really this past weekend, for most of it, the starting pitching was not very good. Nobody made it past 5 innings. I think they allowed 15 runs or so in 15 innings from the starting pitching. And that's where the injuries, especially to Jack Dreyer's, been felt the most, I feel like. But, if any team, I guess, could use a reset of any sort or feel different about the games upcoming, it would be this team because, I think what's the most puzzling is, it'd be one thing if this team played its best baseball in mid-March or early April, and you had to go far back to kind of rediscover that best product. But, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that this team was firmly in the regional projections and had its eyes on possibly a Big Ten title or things like that. So if you're looking for any silver lining, I guess it would be that you don't have to go that far back to rediscover Iowa's best product. But, you know, they've not put themselves in an easy spot, starting with Indiana, who has been playing as well as anybody in the conference of late. So, you know, you're going to need all hands on deck. It's going to start with Cole McDonald. He's got to be a lot better than he's been the last two weekends. You know, give them at least probably 6 or 7 innings to keep them in the game and be able to go to the bullpen the way they like to. So, you know, this group, or at least the veterans on this team, have kind of seen both ends of the Big Ten tournament spectrum, winning it in 17 and then scoring one run in 19 innings last year to go out after two games. So I think everybody at least kind of knows the emotional wave that can unfold when you cram, you know, so many games in a small window. So we'll see if that experience, both good and bad, can pay off this week.
When you look at the season on the whole, I think you have to give Rick Heller credit for getting Iowa to the precipice of being discussed about for the NCAA regionals, given the fact, as you mentioned, they've dealt with a ton of injuries this year.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to some D1 baseball guys before the Irvine series, I believe, and they were saying that, you know, it's not going to happen now given the way the last two weekends unfolded, but they were pushing pretty hard for Rick Heller to be Big Ten Coach of the Year just because, like you said, the adversity. And then losing two assistants the week before the season starts as another obstacle. So, you know, I think if you step back and say this season ends in Omaha without a title, I think if you step back and zoom out and say, given all the obstacles and the people that they had to replace, for Rick Heller to get this team on, like you said, the cusp of a regional is impressive. But I guess when you dive back into how exactly the flow of the season went, it's going to be hard not to leave with some disappointment. Just because, again, for the second year in a row, they did the hard work. We're on the doorstep of getting back to a regional, which can kind of keep this momentum going with some tangible postseason appearances. For that to be within reach and end, you know, the way it might end and, you know, could end, I think would definitely feel there'd be some sting felt going into the off season, just because, again, they did the same thing almost last year. We're in the regional talk all the way through, couldn't finish the deal, and we're left at home. So, yeah, kind of a dual perspective, I guess, on the way this season might be looked at or remembered if it does end in Omaha without a Big Ten title.
Iowa went into Bloomington in late March, and they got swept by the Indiana Hoosiers. This has been one of the hottest, if not the hottest, teams in the Big Ten for most of the season. How tough of a task is this first game for the Iowa Hawkeyes?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough battle. You know, Indiana, like you said, been playing really well, kind of crept up and stole the Big Ten title a little bit from Michigan, beat them 2 out of 3, so definitely earned it. But, you know, they were kind of sitting back waiting and pounced these last two weekends to get up to the one seed. I guess if you're Iowa and you consider Indiana, you know, even though there's not a whole lot of separation between a lot of these teams in the tournament, if you consider Indiana the favorite or the top squad, you know, I think playing them in game one, where you have a healthy bullpen or a full rested bullpen, you know, full rested staff, some days off in between what's been a tough stretch, you know, I think that lines up as possibly the best case scenario to face the number one team in the conference tournament. And, you know, I can't imagine that Indiana is real thrilled that they get Iowa right off the bat, just because, you know, like I said, this team was playing really great baseball just a few weeks ago. So, you know, I don't know many conference tournaments where the last team in was in the regional projections not too long ago. But again, yeah, I mean, Indiana, they earned the conference title for a reason. You know, they've got some things to play for. You know, maybe if they win the tournament or go on a run, they could slide up and steal one of those host spots, those top 16 seeds for the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it wasn't a good weekend when they went down there at the beginning of Big Ten play. But Cole McDonald had a pretty good start in the Friday game. And I think, you know, talking to Rick Heller today, I think they're happy to face Indiana outside of Bloomington just because the ball kind of flies out of there pretty regularly. And that's not always the case at TD Ameritrade where it's a little bigger of a scene there. So, you know, I think everybody that I talked to today at the availability seemed excited to get Indiana right off the bat. But, you know, again, going to have to play a lot better than they have certainly the last 5-6 games.
Dargan Southard with us of the Iowa City Press Citizen previewing the Big Ten baseball tournament, which gets underway this week in Omaha. This is about as bad of a draw as Iowa could possibly have, because not only are you the 8 seed and you open play with the number 1 seed Indiana, but if you win, there's a good chance that you wind up facing Nebraska in Omaha in the second round. Or if you lose, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Nebraska or Minnesota has not been. I mean, those teams have been neck and neck. I know Minnesota's not got quite the postseason standing that Nebraska and Indiana do, but, you know, that's a team that, you know, still has a few pieces back from the squad that made a super regional the year before. So, you know, that's kind of the thing with the Big Ten this year. You know, it took Iowa sliding to get down to 8, but, you know, they were in the third spot and looking at, you know, playing well, possibly get up to 1 or 2 before that Michigan State series. So, you know, I think you look at it 1 through 8 and, you know, you could probably pinpoint 2 or 3 teams that could go in and win this thing. So, but certainly Indiana is playing probably as well as anybody in the conference tournament this year or coming into it this year. So, and then, you know, you got to figure if it is Nebraska, they're not going to forget coming to Iowa City and dropping 2 or 3 and really getting smashed pretty hard in that second game. So, you know, it's not going to be easy. There's not going to be any breaks, any sort of let up if Iowa is to make a run here. You know, they're going to have all the pieces. And that's kind of really the interesting thing to watch in the conference tournament is, you know, you have your horses, you have the guys that you've counted on. But really kind of what separates a run from going home early is those secondary pieces that step up and give you, whether it's quality innings or a big hit here or something like that you don't exactly expect. You saw it in 17 with a couple of the starts that Iowa had. Ryan Erickson, a guy who came on late. Drake Robeson, a guy who didn't have that great of a season but then pitched great in the title game. So if Iowa can start with getting you know, the reliable performances that they've gotten from their guys, and then if they do advance further, get some of those lesser names, some of those underclassmen to step up, then, you know, you could see something unfold this week in Omaha that, you know, at least maybe leaves a better taste than what stands right now.
Dargan, we've seen the past couple of seasons, and I don't want to look too far ahead of the offseason, but we've seen the last couple of seasons where Rick Heller has been hit pretty hard by the juniors being drafted into the Major League Baseball organizations. What does this offseason look like come June? Is Rick Heller sort of waiting with bated breath to see where Grant Judkins or maybe Austin Martin are taken?
Yeah, I actually asked Rick about that a couple weeks ago just because, at least this year, it seems like there are fewer clear-cut guys who are going to the draft. You know, you look at last year, and Robert Nystrom was – they knew he was going to be gone. They had a pretty good idea that Nick Allgaier was going to be gone. You go back the year before, I think everybody knew that Jake Adams was going to leave early. Nick Gallagher had some momentum there, too. This year, it doesn't seem to be quite as clear-cut. Which, you know, may sound like a good thing, and it might end up being that if some of those fringe guys come back. But, you know, if you're Rick Heller and the scholarship situation in college baseball is so dire and so you got to maximize every cent that you get there. You know, planning and trying to figure out if some of these fringe guys are going to go makes it more difficult, because you won't really know until those guys get in the situation that they did. But I guess if you're looking for the main non-seniors who could depart, I think Grant Judkins is one. Austin Martin would be another. I think you could even put Ben Norman in that category and something like that. So, and then, you know, you'll see Cole McDonald probably get drafted as a senior, maybe Chris Whalen as well. So, you know, I think there are some possibilities there to lose some guys, some big pieces, but I don't get the feeling necessarily it's going to be that massive of an exit as you've seen the last 2 years, where, you know, you've had five or six non-seniors leave early and kind of have to rebuild and reset on the fly. So, but, you know, again, if a couple of those fringe guys do leave, then Iowa's going to be, you know, in a similar spot where they kind of got to scramble a little bit. But overall, I don't think that this class is going to be quite as big and name noteworthy as certainly the past 2 years have been.
Dargan, before we let you go, I know you were at Gary Barta's news conference in Iowa City earlier today. Bon Szymanski placed on 30 days paid administrative leave by the school. It seems to be this does not look well for Bon Szymanski. The question is, what's your feeling on what happens here from a university standpoint?
Yeah, doesn't sound good in any regard. I think the most telling quote that Gary Barta said was, there was somebody in there who asked, you know, is this a legit violation, or is this kind of a, you know, tedious NCAA rule written weird that got violated? And, you know, Gary Barta was pretty emphatic in saying that this is a line that was crossed that everybody in college athletics knows that you can't cross. So, you know, I think that's reflected in bringing in an outside firm to do its investigation. You know, all of this has kind of unfolded over the last 3 weeks is the timeline that Gary Barta laid out. So, you know, they're moving pretty quickly with this. I guess if I had to sit here and say, you know, what is the future of Bond? I kind of go with what you said. It doesn't look good. You know, they're going to let the investigation play out, and that prevented a lot of hardcore information being shared today. But I think anytime you see a guy go on administrative leave this quickly, and you know, your AD gets up there and doesn't hide from the fact that this is, you know, when the NCAA issues their official ruling, it's probably going to be a level one or a level two violation, which is, in the NCAA's wording, either a severe breach of conduct or a significant breach of conduct. Neither one is what you want. So, you know, nothing official at this point, but I would say his Bond's future in Iowa City looks pretty cloudy at best.
Dargan, appreciate the insight as always. Love chatting with you. Thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You can read Dargan's work at hawkcentral.com, including that piece which we've discussed throughout the course of the program today. Bon Szymanski, Iowa's volleyball coach, Iowa City native, University of Iowa graduate, placed on paid administrative leave for crossing a line. That's pretty telling there, because I think most people who follow college athletics, that narrows it down for,
right,
for most folks. If you say there's a line that you don't cross, I think folks can probably connect the dot there, what that may or may not involve. But with law enforcement not being involved, you know, it's not not exactly a crime. It's just a violation of rules, but a very severe one. And Iowa decided to get out in front of it today. Gary Barta not wasting any time, not waiting 3 days from the release of a statement to get in front of cameras here, but saying it's a difficult day. There were a lot of emotions, anger, sadness. The motto was win, graduate, do it right. Clearly, in this case, Bond came up short with it. He said, we had an employee. Well, there's only one who's on paid administrative leave right now, but he didn't want to name him. Came up short. Now,
is he worrying about spoiler alerts?
From there you go. See, Gary gets it. He didn't want to, anybody who read the article, but only the last paragraph, he didn't want to spoil it. From the department of, you can't make this up, the university brought in an outside legal firm to do the external investigation, and the name of the firm is Bond, Shanick, and King.
You're kidding me.
No. At least it's not Shemansky, Shanick, and King, because then I would question the impartiality of that, but...
They couldn't have brought in McGagnon and Guggenheimer or whatever the new law firm
See,
is.
I was careful with carrying over stuff from that, because the next thing you know, we're going to get the text line letting us know that sports gambling's been legalized in the state of Iowa. 5:52, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Alex's Blues are on the precipice of doing something big. I want to get his thoughts on that after this.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day of life. Member FDIC.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to click on the banner ad entitled, "You Won't Believe What These Child Stars Look Like Now." Be dissatisfied, and kinda sad, about how the child stars look. And now your computer is plagued by incessant pop-up ads.
Oh, this can't be good.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 clickbait minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Trey Wingo here. Want to meet us at Whistling Straits for some golf? Well, Dell Small Business is giving you a chance with the Wingo Cup Contest. Win now through May 22nd only with Golic and Wingo. No purchase necessary. Go to ESPNradio.com for official contest rules.
5:56, we welcome you back in, or welcome you to the program tonight with you till 7 o'clock. Todd and Alex, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM online at KGYMRadio.com, where you can vote in our poll question. Do the Blazers get swept tonight? Yes, Golden State finishes them off, or no, bring on Game 5. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. A little bit more on the Big Ten baseball bracket since we were just chatting with Dargan Southard. The Hawkeyes will be the third game of the tournament, third of four games on Wednesday, the opening day. Play actually begins at 9 a.m. with Illinois, the number three seed, taking on Maryland. The Terrapins, taking care of business against the Hawkeyes over the weekend, are now the sixth seed. Number two, Michigan, faces Ohio State, a renewal of rivalries there between those two schools. And then Indiana and Iowa in the 1-8. And again, this is about as nightmarish as you can draw it up, because there's a good chance Nebraska beats Minnesota. And then the next thing you know, if you upset number one Indiana come Thursday at 8 o'clock, under the 9 o'clock, I should say, under the lights, you've got a stadium in Omaha that's most likely going to be brimming with Husker red. Granted, there'd be some black and gold there, but there's going to be a definite home field advantage for Nebraska as long as the Huskers are around in the tournament. So, really tough draw for Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes, but they still have games in front of them at this point. The season isn't over until it's over. They couldn't overcome the injuries, and then they picked a really bad time to hit the skids. Final 2 weeks of the season. You would have talked to me after the UC Irvine series a couple weekends ago. I would have said, you're darn right they're in a regional at this point. They got a great resume. And then, well, the resume got put into the shredder, or a big coffee stain on it or something, or got returned because there wasn't enough postage on it when you mailed it out. Anyway, we'll stay abreast of what's going on with the baseball team as it gets ready for the Big Ten tournament this week in Omaha. Coming up in the third and final hour, Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago is set to join us live from Wrigley Field. The Chicago Cubs hosting the Philadelphia Phillies tonight, and it's not just any pitching matchup. It's the pitching matchup that an entire offseason was spent debating last year. Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta. Yu Darvish goes for the Cubs tonight. Jake Arrieta returns to Wrigley Field to face his former teammates. Should be a good one, and we'll get Jesse's thoughts on that when he joins us inside the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also, in the third and final hour, get to some St. Louis Blues discussion.
There we
because
go.
Alex's Blues are on the cusp of facing Tuukka Rask and the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals. Oh, so close. Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, trying to get back for the first time since 1970 to the Stanley Cup Final.
I know what you're going to come into work wearing tomorrow. 6 o'clock, almost 6 o'clock. We'll take a quick timeout. Hour number three is on the way next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The West could be won tonight. Warriors with a chance to complete the sweep in Game 4 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals against the Trailblazers. Coverage in an hour on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, 9 Eastern on ESPN TV. With a victory, Golden State advances to a fifth straight NBA Finals. Warriors swingman Andre Iguodala with a calf injury is questionable. A bombshell from Magic Johnson as he addressed his abrupt resignation as president of the Lakers. During today's appearance on First Take, Johnson made it clear a certain L.A. executive was the one who was backstabbing him before he stepped down.
And then I start hearing, you know, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me, Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough, and so on and on.
Magic Johnson. He also said one reason he resigned, he felt he no longer had the power to make decisions. At the Lakers press conference to introduce new head coach Frank Vogel, Pelinka responded to Johnson's comments, said they're surprising to hear, disheartening, and are simply not true. NFL, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting Redskins linebacker Reuben Foster suffered a season-ending torn ACL today, the first day of team OTAs. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott handcuffed by security at Las Vegas Music Festival Saturday after shoving a staffer to the ground, according to TMZ. Elliott was detained but not charged. The NFL is gathering information but doesn't think it's a big deal at this point, reports ESPN's Adam Schefter.
The Warriors keep on rolling and take a commanding 3-0 lead over Portland.
Now the Trailblazers face a must-win game four. Coverage begins tonight, 8 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by Indeed.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Stop number two on this seven-game West Coast road trip, Twins and the Angels on Monday night from the Big A. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that's just one of our three frequencies here at KGYM, also 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and our main frequency, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programs like this one. The gym class will kick things off tomorrow. Local programming returning at 3 o'clock. The gym class brought to you by Third Base Brewery. We are presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids or on the Strip in Coralville, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years and a proud partner at the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. A portion of some of your purchases will be donated to the hospital. You can get more details by checking out Randy's website, randysflooring.com. We'll get to Alex's St. Louis Blues trying to get back to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since, was it 1970?
1970.
The Nixon administration. How about that? But first, we check in with Chris Emma of 670 The Score in Chicago, who is at Wrigley Field tonight as the Cubs return home to take on not only the Philadelphia Phillies, but an old friend. And Chris, the planets have aligned here. They've brought us the pitching matchup that many people are looking forward to tonight. Yu Darvish against the man he replaced in Jake Arrieta. How you doing?
Doing well. It all had to come together like this. It's a year later with Arrieta and Darvish both signing in 2018. But here we are with these two squaring off in festival of intrigue here at Wrigley.
What's the buzz? What has been the discussion around town with this matchup?
You know, it's just about how Yu Darvish can put it together, whether he can build off his last start. And I think there's just a lot of curiosity to this whole thing because Darvish pitched an excellent game last week. He only went 5 1/3. Pitch count got high on him, but you saw him get that fastball command back, striking out 11 guys in Cincinnati. So that's the kind of pitcher the Cubs expect Yu Darvish to be. And fans here certainly know what Jake Arrieta is all about. So Jake's going to get a huge ovation, and the emotions are going to be high for both of those pitchers.
You mentioned that last start for Darvish. It came against Cincinnati with the 11 strikeouts over 5 1/3. He really took his time during that start. At times it seemed almost frustrating watching him, but do we see that again tonight, where he sort of tries to slow things down and see if that translates to better results?
You know, he'd been doing a little bit of that, too, the start before, in which he walked six Marlins here at Wrigley Field. So I don't think it's about the tempo as much as it is just simply going back to attacking hitters the right way. With Yu Darvish, it's all about the fastball command. Two-seam, four-seam cutter, locating that pitch. And the difference is in there with the two starts. The start against Miami here in Chicago 2 weeks ago, he walked six of the guys, and he threw his fastball 50%. Strikes. I mean, just not good enough. You can't throw your fastball. They get me over a pitch at 50%. Last week in Cincinnati, he hit him at 68%. So much better step forward for him. It's all about that. It's really as simple as that. Locating the fastball and just making hitters miss with the rest of the stuff, because Darvish has terrific stuff. The movement is there. The velocity is there. You see everything that made Yu Darvish the kind of player the Cubs wanted to attract and wanted to bring in. It's just about really trusting his stuff that it's going to work and attacking hitters the right way.
And it's interesting, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you can tell pretty early on whether he has his stuff or not, because when he doesn't have fastball of that command of that fastball, it seems like he is all over the place. And it's not like he's missing close. He's way off.
Bingo. It's all about confidence. There's no doubt this guy has the stuff to be, you know, the Yu Darvish we've seen before. Nothing really changes in that regard. It's all about him trusting his stuff. That's the biggest key. You can't get too cute out there. You see him, you know, get into a count where he's down 3-1 and he goes with a slider or something like that, or, you know, a 3-0 breaking ball that just not really working. Trust the fastball and really just go about it attacking hitters the right way. If he's able to do that early in the game, he's going to be able to sustain it.
Chris, any thoughts here as to the mental state of Yu Darvish going into this matchup tonight? Because we have seen him come unraveled rather easily. He doesn't take to pressure very well. And he himself has said that he knows what Jake Arrieta means to the Cubs and to the city of Chicago. I think he called him a legend. Is this a situation where maybe the Cubs should have looked at trying to figure out how to maybe skip him this start, push him back, or just to avoid going head-to-head with Arrieta?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I had that same thought. This is a guy who has not pitched well in high-leverage, big-stage moments. You think back to 2017, Game 7 of the World Series with the Dodgers, and he got hit. He was just not really good enough. So this is a guy who really admitted he felt the pressure of signing the big deal with the Cubs last year. He's come back with a fresh mind, a little bit of peace to himself this year. But now it's about executing upon that and getting the results. And he's been a little bit better. He certainly was better in his last start, but it's all about having the confidence that you can be that guy. I keep coming back to it. Attacking hitters is the base level for Yu Darvish. Is using that fastball, using the movement and the velocity you have, and just trusting that it's going to make hitters miss more often than it won't. But if this guy gets the confidence that he needs, it's watch out. He's that good. I mean, we know what kind of pitcher this guy has the caliber of being. But yes, it's all in his head right now in terms of getting that confidence back and really trusting himself.
Speaking of confidence and trusting himself, Chris Bryant is tearing the cover off the ball. Is it pretty obvious at this point that the early season struggles were more about timing and knocking off rust than any lingering injuries with that shoulder?
Yeah, and it's a kind of cool story from, you know, the internal perspective of the Cubs, where Theo Epstein last year challenged Joe Maddon to be more hands-on, more proactive with his players. And it was Joe who noticed this movement and some of the internal mechanisms of Bryant's swing, where when he was in a stance and the ball was approaching, his mechanics were not quite right. This is a guy in Bryant who's had terrific swing mechanics his entire life. I mean, his dad's a hitting coach. This is a guy who has thrived off that kind of that kind of background. So for Maddon to be the one who noticed it, for him to be hands-on and approaching it and helping Bryant break out of his slump, it's a big win for the Cubs. Now you're talking about a guy in Bryant who is, really just kind of a middling player for the month of April, to be honest, and the numbers back it up. And now he's going back to that top 10 level player in all of baseball. And, you know, you're talking about this guy being an all-star and maybe an MVP candidate if he keeps it up.
Chris Emma with us of 670 The Score in Chicago, joining us from Wrigley Field. What's the latest on Javier Baez's injury?
Yeah, it's a minor thing. Joe Maddon said it's more of a day-to-day deal. Baez, it's a heel issue. He's feeling some soreness. Joe spoke with Javi last night as they were getting off the bus from a late night trip, and then again this morning touching base. So Baez was running or working on the exercise bike before the game. The belief from Maddon is that Baez will be available to pinch hit if needed and come off the bench. If all goes well, I'd imagine he's back in the lineup tomorrow.
Let's move on to the Chicago White Sox. What is it like? What's the excitement level right now with Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson playing like bona fide stars to begin this season?
You know, that's kind of what the season's all about. You add in Eloy Jimenez and Lucas Giolito and those players. It's nice if this team can go out and be near 500 or be more competitive. But this season for the White Sox is all about just getting these young players to where you expect them to be. And The two you mentioned, Moncada and Anderson, certainly qualify and then some. Moncada's a 1.6 win player this right now on Fangraphs, which is second best of any 23-year-old or younger, behind only Cody Bellinger, who's been tearing it up in the NL MVP right now. So Moncada's really developed into the kind of player they had hoped and really turned around some of the early slumps and some of the early issues he had in 17 and certainly in 18. Strikeout numbers are down. The power numbers up. He's just playing with a lot more confidence, and it's reflected with each time he goes to the plate. And then we talked about that confidence again. Tim Anderson, he feels like he's dominating right now, and that's because he is. This is a guy who is absolutely thriving. There's not a lot of great speed power players in baseball anymore, but he's on a 30-30 pace, and at this point it certainly looks like he can do it pretty easily with the stolen bases over 40 or even into the 50s. This is a guy who's really in control of his game and just feeling so good about himself. And that was a big step for him forward because, he's been down the last couple of years. He's had some personal dealings off the field that have really affected his performance, which he's admitted to. He's in a great place. His wife just delivered, I believe, their third child. And he's just in a happy place in life where baseball is kind of a place where he can just go out and truly have fun.
Chris, any concern at this point about the mounting pitching injuries in the organization, both at the minor league level and the major league level?
There's got to be. There absolutely has to be. I mean, they started this rebuild based on young pitching. In addition to the Moncadas and adding a player like Jimenez, Luis Robert, they built it with a foundation of guys like Giolito and Rodon and Lopez and Dane Dunning. They really have high expectations for these young players. The silver lining there is that somebody like a Dylan Cease, Lucas Giolito, another example, these are guys who have undergone Tommy John before and had success coming off of that. Well, now you add in Kopech recovering from it, Dane Dunning recovering from it, and Rodon, I believe, about to undergo it this week. It's troublesome. It's frustrating because these are the foundational arms, and the pitching has been a weak link all along for this organization since they've started this thing. So, they have depth. They have layers of depth that are encouraging. But at this pitch, you're thinking that you have to be looking at young starters and players you can add to this mix where, low-risk, high-upside kind of players because it's really just not working building a foundation of young arms.
Does it almost feel like, because I hear a lot of White Sox fans saying this, does it almost feel like the Bulls, as far as Jerry Reinsdorf's insistence and loyalty to everyone in that organization?
I think it's... That you can draw that connection in a lot of other ways, but I don't think it's really fair in this regard with some of the injuries and things that they've dealt with. It's bad luck. You're talking about two of the players they had in Cease and Giolito who underwent Tommy John before, and they brought them in believing that they could come back and reach that potential, and they both have shown that they certainly can, but it's just a matter of bad luck for an organization that's had so much of it the last so many years. So, this wasn't really believed to be a year in which they'd be competing. Next season, you add Michael Kopech back to the mix. Rodon comes back midway through the season. They're going to be, I believe, all in at this point on 2020 and, those years from there where, you're adding the contending pieces and some of the veterans to really help you win. So, unfortunately, it's just kind of a lost year in terms of the development of Rodon, obviously for Kopech as well, and you hope they come back strong.
Alex brought up the Bulls. What would you do if you were in charge of using that number 7 pick? Would you dangle it as they've rumored, or would you try to find somebody to take with it?
Yeah, you got to dangle it. You got to try to move up. I mean, you think about what this organization has been the last decade, where, that window with Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler, it closed on them. It managed where Bryce Harper walking by here, a little bit of fanfare around it for the Phillies fans, but you're talking about an organization that really got caught in mediocrity, and they tried to bounce back from that, rebuild, and become a championship-level team. You got to make those aggressive moves around it, believing that, Markkanen's going to be the player they hope. Zach LaVine's going to be the player they hope. Wendell Carter, all these young players that they have, make the aggressive move around it because they're clearly not ready to spend in free agency. So do what you can to try to get up into that top three and push for a Ja Morant. That's the only way you can avoid falling back into the trap of mediocrity because right now for 2019, 2020 and the years beyond that, this team looks like it's going to be a 6th through 8th seed, and that's what got them into this mess.
Chris Garforman and John Paxson said that they were looking at possibly bringing in a veteran player. Now, I ask you this. Could you see envision a scenario in which they try to go after one of the better veteran point guards on the market, or at least one with another year on his contract in Mike Conley from the Memphis Grizzlies?
It could be a guy like that. Yeah, I think he kind of fits what they're looking to do. I like that. I haven't really thought about that name, to be honest, but I'd like that fit. Given the fact that Chris Dunn has a lot more to prove, and frankly, it looks like the door's kind of shutting on him. You got young pieces all around, 2 through 5 in the lineup, and some decent depth where if you can keep these guys healthy, a player like Conley would be a big asset to them. So I like that name.
At CEmma670 on Twitter, Chris, always appreciate you taking the time, especially there at Wrigley Field. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Give him a follow for all things Chicago sports related, and it should be a good one there tonight at Wrigley as Javier Baez day-to-day with the ankle injury, creating a little bit of a conundrum tonight for the Chicago Cubs because it's Women's Empowerment Night at Wrigley Field, and that means Addison Russell is in the starting lineup at shortstop for the Cubs. Maybe he wouldn't have been had Baez been healthy, but some people have certainly noted that on social media as Addison Russell's presence continues to be another thing that divides us and causes us to be at each other's throats. 6:18, we'll take a quick timeout. We will get to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs in just a little bit. Plus, according to at least one college basketball observer, the Michigan Wolverines are down to a Final Four, or maybe even a Final Three, when it comes to figuring out who's going to replace John Beilein moving forward. All that, plus Kyle's going to get you our final big board update from Alexander Lumber when we return after this.
Oh, wow, Bob, that's a lot of work.
What?
You're waxing your car the old-fashioned way. Why?
Because I want the look, the protection, you know.
Well, now there's a better way. 303 Touchless Sealant. Spray on and rinse off. You're done in minutes. And it lasts longer than the wax you'll be pushing around your hood all afternoon.
Sold. 303 Touchless Sealant it is. Hey, where are you going?
Everywhere, Bob. It's a beautiful day. 303 Touchless Sealant. All the protection and shine in no time. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions and easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertin & Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin & Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertin & Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 9 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
like the Colonels on Facebook or subscribe to their email newsletter to receive a buy one ticket, get one free coupon for this Tuesday's game. One lucky fan in attendance will win a pair of tickets to a Minnesota Twins game sponsored by Great Clips. Get tickets at Colonels.com for the best party in town and party at the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Stop number two on this seven-game West Coast road trip. Twins and the Angels on Monday night from the Big A. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Jake Odorizzi on the mound for the Twins tonight, who are 30-16 on the season. Pretty impressive so far, and he's been a big part of it. 6-2 with a 2.63 ERA. Jorge Polanco leading the Twins with a .343 batting average. Eddie Rosario with 13 home runs. And, oh, by the way, Miguel Sano back at the big league level, joining the Twins, giving them some reinforcements. C.J. Cron has been a fantastic signing. Everything is coming up roses for the Minnesota Twins this season, and we invite you to tune in. As you just heard tonight, 9:07, first pitch from the Big A in Anaheim, Angels Stadium. Twins Angels on 107.5 FM tonight. That's just one of our three frequencies, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, as well as 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, heard all across eastern Iowa, your home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Kyle has rejoined us in the studio for the final time tonight. He shall bring you a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. And it's not just lumber that they have for you. If you're looking at building a deck this season, Trex, the molded decking, they can be very competitive. Check them out. Alexander Lumber bringing you this big board update.
The lead story this evening is one that developed just in time for today's show. Head Iowa volleyball coach Bon Szymanski has been placed on 30-day administrative leave for what Gary Barta referred to as a significant violation. It was apparently brought to light by a former student athlete, but is not requiring the involvement of law enforcement, but is also not something to be considered a technicality. The school hired an outside investigation firm on May 3rd and called the NCAA today to report what he anticipates to be a level 1 or 2 NCAA violation. To put that into perspective, the NCAA website says level 2 violations could be along the lines of, quote, multiple recruiting, financial aid, or eligibility violations that do not amount to a lack of institutional control, whereas level 1 would be to the extent of lack of control or even severe offenses like academic fraud, although Barta said he felt it would be inappropriate to share what exactly is being investigated. Since its series victory over UC Irvine, the Iowa baseball team's taken a bit of a tumble, losing 5 of its last 6 after being swept in Maryland in the regular season. With any postseason hopes 100% reliant on a Big Ten tournament title, attention solely on the Wednesday matchup with top-seeded Indiana. First pitch is set to be 5 o'clock. The Iowa and Iowa State official verified Twitter accounts were suspended over the weekend as part of what seems to be the front end of what could turn into a trend. Because of music used in years-old videos, music copyright infringement complaints resulted in Twitter shutting down the pages, and since the Hawkeyes and Cyclones, Auburn and Rutgers football, as well as the Houston Rockets, have also been shut down. And tonight after the show, we're going to have the Blazers trying not to get swept by the Warriors on the South and Main Gyms, and then around 8:30 we'll pick up the Twins and Angels on the North Gym.
Cedar Rapids Colonels home for an 8-game homestand starting tonight with the Burlington Bees. They take on Burlington for 4, and then the Peoria Chiefs come to town. I have a feeling that we'll see you out at the ballpark sometime over the next 8 days. That's a Friday through Memorial Day series with the Chiefs. Nolan Gorman is still there with them. I know how much you are, how high you are on Nolan Gorman.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe not as high as you are on the Blues. And the more we kick this can down the road, the more we can save it for tomorrow's program when it's even more relevant, because that's when the Blues will be trying to get to the Stanley Cup final to take on Boston. But I mentioned that Jeff Goodman report. Pretty fascinating. Jeff Goodman, formerly of CBS Sports, now at Stadium, saying that Michigan is down to three candidates. Let's put it this way. The exact wording is that three candidates have emerged as strong contenders, which is usually an indication that one of these three guys is most likely going to get the job. You have former Michigan standout Juwan Howard.
His name was thrown out almost immediately by a lot of media members.
He, I believe, is an assistant at the NBA level currently.
I believe so. Jay Williams, I believe, is the first one to throw his name out there.
Providence head coach Ed Cooley, and then current Michigan assistant Luke Yaklich. Yaklich is the defensive guru.
Wow.
That's not exactly an inspiring list of candidates.
No.
But then again, John Beilein, when he was hired in 2007, I don't think he inspired a ton of confidence. The interesting thing with Ed Cooley, who you may recall was on TV coaching with a towel around his waist because he split his pants during the Big East Conference tournament this past season. The Michigan search is running by being run by Gene DeFilippo, who was the athletic director at Boston College when Ed Cooley was on the staff there from 1997 to 2006. DeFilippo was the AD from 1997 to 2012. So he's got ties to Ed Cooley. The fan base, I have a feeling, is going to want Juwan Howard because he's a former Michigan player. And then you have Luke Yaklich, who's a current assistant there, but nobody ever wants the current assistant. They want somebody who's either been a former player or they want a big-name hire. And I don't see a big-name hire here. Now, Juwan Howard, you could argue, is a big name, but he's an assistant coach in the NBA right now. He has no, to my knowledge, head coaching experience or even assistant coaching experience at the college level. I may be wrong on that. I think most of his career since he left has been spent at the NBA level. This is, I guess, if you want to look at it through the lens of the greater Big Ten, I see an opening here. I see Michigan, if they make the wrong hire here, they fall back to the middle of the pack pretty darn quick, in my opinion.
It's weird. If these three candidates are the final three, and one of them is going to get the job, they are three completely different candidates. You look at Ed Cooley, that's the proven coach, although not necessarily with the best results. He's a good coach, not a great coach, and has been at Providence for a long time. And then Luke Yaklich, if you really love John Beilein and you want to keep that culture moving forward and keep winning the right way and keep the same coaching staff sort of intact and continue along the lines of Michigan basketball over the past 7-8 years, you go with Luke Yaklich. But if you want to get into this new age hiring former NBA players who went to your school and get back into the recruiting game and start seeing five-star recruits and McDonald's All-Americans coming back to Michigan the way that it has at Memphis with Penny Hardaway and now Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt and Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, Juwan Howard would be very interesting, which is why you saw so many guys polling for him. Jalen Rose, bring in Juwan Howard. Jay Williams, bring in Juwan Howard. We want to see that culture shifted back to bringing in the top players in the country. So does Michigan want to win, graduate, do it right? Or do they want to try to go for the home run, high risk, high reward, potentially start dipping back into the seedy underbelly of college basketball? I'm not saying that Juwan Howard would cheat. But in order to bring in five-star recruits and McDonald's All-Americans, we know what's going on in college basketball right now.
Yeah, that's a byproduct of why John Beilein, partially why John Beilein was brought in the first place, was he was impeccably clean.
Right.
At a school that oftentimes, especially with its men's basketball program, had been just a little dirty. Is this coaching search different if it takes place earlier? I keep going back to that with this,
yeah,
because the Beilein departure completely shocked a lot of people. This job is a good job, and if it opens around the time that most of the other big vacancies in college basketball do, I think you have to have a better candidate pool at this point than what you've got here. I don't know. I doubt there'd be much interest in giving Luke Jaklich an interim year on the job to see whether he earns the head coaching
I could see that as
gig
well.
Or not. But that's something, I guess, if we were another month or two down the road into the summer, I think would be more realistic. Right now, you make whatever hire you can, but boy, they are. This is just a great reminder, in my opinion, that your one slip up or administrative blunder away from taking a major step back. And I'm not necessarily pigeonholing this as an Iowa standpoint, although a lot of people have, for years, when things have not gone well for the Iowa football program, they want to get rid of Kirk Ferentz and Fran McCaffrey and Lisa Bluter. At least people were calling for Lisa Bluter's job a year ago. And then this year she takes Iowa to the Elite Eight, largely on the back of Megan Gustafson and two other extremely talented seniors. But still, there's a very good chance that John Beilein, who took Michigan to a pair of Final Fours, leaves for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And within 4 years, we're looking at Michigan being a middle-of-the-road team in the Big Ten again, if the hire goes south.
What is it about that basketball program where there's such a thin line of I can't even describe that. There's such a small window of failure. If they don't hire the right person, if they don't bring in the exact type of coach that is needed, their basketball program becomes irrelevant in the snap of a finger. I don't understand.
I think it's a number of things, and I think mainly the expectations for the Michigan fan base, which a Michigan basketball fan for a number of years was the equivalent of Nebraska football fan. A Michigan basketball fan,
right?
It's still the Fab Five to them. That's always going to be the baseline, and trying to drive home the point that for years they didn't understand why the program had a hard time winning. Chrysler Arena is not the finest facility, or hadn't been the finest facility in the Big Ten for a while. They were one of the last, if I recall correctly, it was Iowa, Minnesota, and Michigan, the last three schools in men's basketball to come on board with upgraded practice facilities. And it's a blue blood program that for a really long period was run and operating as a middle-tier program, but people still thought of it as an outstanding program when it really wasn't. And Beilein, through coaching and skill and decent recruiting and wise decisions like, okay, I know offense. I don't know defense. I'm going to bring in somebody to coach defense. And then after that guy left after one season, he went and he found Luke Jaklich at Illinois State to do the same thing, and they've had great success since then. I still don't know if that's enough for me to turn that job over to Luke Jaklich. And again, as Fran McCaffrey told Chad Lystico last week, if you just coach one thing, can you be a great coach, a well-rounded head coach? I think it's easier to be a specialist when you're an assistant than when you're a head coach, but the timing here from John Beilein leaves Michigan against the wall, and you have a limited pool because of the timing, and one mistake, you can't really own up to a mistake until 3-4 years down the road. Todd Licklider got three, and you make the wrong hire and you're Michigan, you're right back there in the middle of the pack very easily. So this will be critical. But Ed Cooley, I think he can coach. Luke Yaklich would be a little bit of a reach. And then Juwan Howard is the ultimate B.J. Armstrong. For years, anytime the Iowa basketball job was rumored to be coming open, B.J. Armstrong, because the fan base loved him. And now you've got a new generation of B.J. Armstrongs, because that's what old guys like me talk about B.J. Armstrong. Now people are saying Jeff Horner or Dean Oliver. You want the automatic default is to somebody who played at a university, played at the school. And when you do that, what you're really doing is you're limiting yourself in the pool of candidates. Now, sometimes things work out the other way around, because you can hit a home run higher and then you can have trouble down the road. Because I think, as cliche as it is, when Gary Barta hired Bond Szymanski to take over the Iowa volleyball program, everybody viewed that as a coup. There's a guy from Iowa City, University of Iowa graduate. He gets it. He understands it. They couldn't have made a better hire. And now, fast forward several years, he's on paid administrative leave, and I'd say there's probably a 99.9% chance he loses his job over whatever this infraction was. And I'm sure there's some scuttlebutt out there about what the... When Gary Barta says that it's very clear in the NCAA where the line is and that the line was crossed, and you combine that with the fact that the authorities are not involved, so it's not as if any laws necessarily are being broken.
Nothing fraudulent,
nothing that would involve abuse or anything like that, where you would have charges possibly pending. But the NCAA, the line got crossed here to the point where Iowa's spooked right now, because this may be a volleyball program issue, but if the NCAA takes something seriously enough and you start using the terms like institutional control, those tentacles can reach into parts of the other athletic department. I don't think you're not going to lose 40 football scholarships over something that the volleyball program did, but this is worth taking seriously if you're a Hawkeye fan.
Absolutely. And when your entire motto and identity is built on taking the moral high ground, it has to be very spooky for you to have something like this come across your desk, right? Like you said, it's fodder for people when you constantly take the moral high ground of win, graduate, do it right, and one of your coaches is not doing the last and probably, according to a lot of people, the most important aspect of the three. So it'll be interesting. I have an idea. Like you said, you can, by process of elimination of what Gary Barta said, where it's a very obvious violation and the authorities are not involved, you can eliminate it to one rule that was probably broken, but until we hear exactly what happened, I won't speculate.
And that's part of the issue here, because we've seen Iowa do the exact opposite of this in the past, and maybe the university was taking some unsolicited advice to heart here when it shouldn't have. But Gary Barta, with very high-profile issues in the past, has been criticized for putting out a statement and then not doing anything and not being in front of the media, and then 2 or 3 days later, when the story's still in the news cycle and hasn't gone away, then he's suddenly having a news conference.
Right.
Today, he has a news conference. Okay. He can't really say anything, and so you leave it at that. So it's like when he needed to be out in front of the media with Gary Dolphin and Maishi Daly the first time last basketball season. And
the Bruno Fernando.
And then the second time with Gary Dolphin. Yeah. My point being, when he needed to do this, he didn't. And now that necessary, not to disparage the Iowa volleyball program, but this is...
You know what's going to get a bigger reaction from your fan
base. Exactly. And this isn't something that... you know, probably warranted this type of news conference, but it's there was sadness and anger at Carver Hawkeye Arena, according to Gary Barta here, because a line has been crossed, and I think Bon Shemansky has the volleyball program in better shape than where he inherited it. Now the question is, how did that program, and it's not like they've been an NCAA champion or a Big Ten champion or anything like that. So that's a whole nother set of questions here if it turns out to be something terribly nefarious with the NCAA, because if you're going to cheat, do it right. Not to paraphrase win, graduate, and do it right, but if you're cheating somehow and you're not winning, or you're not winning at a big enough clip, then boy, you've ruined your reputation and you've ruined the program for nothing. We'll wait and see what the facts say in this case, but again, you can read between the lines when Gary Barta says there's a line that got crossed and the authorities weren't involved, but you're looking at a grade 2 or grade 1 violation. This is something pretty serious, and Iowa wanted to try to get out ahead of it today. 319-366-1600, and no to the woman commenting on Twitter earlier today, it's not a paid vacation. Raise your hand if you would love a 30-day paid administrative leave. You know what that gives you? Gives you 30 days to get your crap in order, because you know you're going to be looking for a new job. You make it. That woman makes it sound like he's cooling his heels in Barbados at an all-inclusive resort right now. And chances are you get put on paid administrative leave more often than not. You don't get to return to your job. And this is Iowa crossing its T's, dotting its I's.
Very, very popular. And win a whole heck of a lot and are at a different school.
Yeah. Or if you're at a sport that people really, really, really care about, and you're Will Wade, who can be caught on wire.
Let's ride this out.
Saying you made a strong ass offer for a player's services. And hey, paid administrative leave. Bring him back.
The players are returning to school, I believe.
Bring him back. At tip of the iceberg, it goes back to the conversation with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. This was while you were gone, but
everybody
focuses on the iceberg and what you can see, but it's the stuff that's underneath the water that did the damage to the Titanic and sank it. And that's the scary part. You see about 10% of the iceberg. The other stuff underneath the water is what really takes you down. 6:44, we'll take a quick timeout. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line available for you to reach out to us today, 366-1600. Also, you can pick up the phone and give us a call. Same number again, 366-1600, packed to put the finishing touches on a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn when we return after this.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex Decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex Decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Ted here, dialing in from Denver.
Kenzie and the Chicago team dialing in.
Okay, let's get started.
Ted's in charge of this project. He's a total goober. And what's with the haircut?
Guys, can definitely hear you. Like, really good reception.
Conference calls, no-brainer. The mute button. Barbasol's no-brainer. Finally making razors to go along with America's favorite shaving cream. Try Barbasol's Ultra 6 Plus razor with 6 ultra-thin blades for a close, comfortable shave.
Barbasol!
The Warriors keep on rolling and take a commanding 3-0 lead over Portland. Now the Trailblazers face a must-win game 4.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
The Minnesota Timberwolves have a new head coach. With a familiar last name, Ryan Saunders, takes over the Timberwolves. He is 33 years old, making him the youngest head coach currently in the association. His father, Flip Saunders, coached the Timberwolves for a number of years. I remember Flip Saunders way back in the old Continental Basketball Association days, working his way up the coaching ranks. Flip Saunders, unfortunately, no longer with us. 33 years old, taking over an NBA team. It's impressive. The Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Randy's has been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, and there's a good reason for that. Stop by one of their showrooms and find out why. You can even consult with one of their folks to find out, make sure that you're getting the right products at the right price so that you can get your job done on time. Randy's Flooring, the presenting sponsor for Monday's edition of the show. It's been a good one. We had Chris Emma of 670 WSCR in Chicago with us from Wrigley Field earlier this hour. Way back in the 5 o'clock hour, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen stopped by for a chat about the Hawkeyes as they head west to Omaha for the Big Ten baseball tournament this weekend as the 8th and final seed in the 8-team tournament field. Plus, a lot of discussion about the news of the day out of Iowa City, and that's volleyball coach Bond Szymanski being placed on paid administrative leave. If you missed anything from the show, our podcast will be available shortly at kgymradio.com. Golden State and Portland tonight, a game 4 of that series, a possible sweep in the making. This is going to be finished off tonight, right? This
yes.
is just delaying the inevitable. There's no way Portland wins this and pushes it to game 5.
I'm not going to say no way they do that.
Never say never.
I do think that Golden State finishes off the sweep, even though Portland has been close in some games. They cannot fend off that seemingly 15-20 point run that Golden State inevitably makes when one of their two future Hall of Famers who are healthy right now catches fire and cannot be stopped from beyond the arc. And that is the problem when you play the Warriors. You can think, oh, this guy's cold. Klay Thompson isn't making shots early. Steph Curry has 0 points in the first half. and then the second half comes, and you just can't fend off the Golden State Warriors, even without Kevin Durant.
Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals is tomorrow. That series has been just as good as advertised. Milwaukee leading it 2-1, and I think we'll wind up making it through that series to face Golden State. And I'm here. I'm signing up right now. Give me Golden State and Milwaukee in the finals, because I think it's going to be a really good series if that's what we get.
I do, too. I think Toronto evens up the series, though, before heading back to Milwaukee. 2-2 in Toronto. I do believe the Bucks are going to be ultimately too much because of the addition of Malcolm Brogdon back into the lineup. But Giannis and the Bucks against Golden State, that is what I am hoping for in the NBA Finals.
That's a sad news from the Big Ten today. Illinois defensive lineman Bobby Roundtree, I don't know if you saw this, suffered a spinal injury in a swimming accident in Florida. I don't know many more of the details on this, but the injury occurred Saturday. He underwent surgery Sunday night. No additional information available, according to media reports. Lovey Smith putting out a statement that Bobby Roundtree is exactly what you want in a student athlete. Sounds like Lovey Smith and a couple of the assistant coaches went down to Florida to check in on him after the accident, but pretty tough to read there as far as Big Ten football news goes. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we will, I'm sure, be discussing good or bad Yu Darvish's start tonight against the Philadelphia Phillies. Interesting to see Chris Emma agree with me that maybe you could have rejiggered the rotation a little bit with Yu Darvish and not put him up against Jake Arrieta, because mentally, I don't know whether he's going to be able to handle this tonight, the pressure that comes with facing Jake Arrieta. We're about to find out, because they're going to throw the first pitch at Wrigley Field in just a few minutes. We'll look back on We'll look back on that game and more with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, and a whole lot more in store for you if you join us on a Tuesday. Podcast, as we mentioned, available, KGYMRadio.com. Local programming returns tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class brought to you by Third Base Brewery. Your next chance to win tickets to see Disturbed. Tune in.
Individual.